God, how we thank you this morning. Oh Lord, how we thank you, oh God, for this new day you have made, caused us to see. Thank you for this breath of life, oh God. As your children come before your throne this morning, oh God, I pray you touch each and everyone in a special way this morning. Oh God, have your will and your way in your lives this morning, oh God. Father, as we welcome our dear brother Tony, oh God. Father, as you bring forth that word this morning, I pray, oh God, you'll anoint him. Anoint our hearts, oh Lord, to receive that word of gladness. Yes. Oh God, open our understanding this morning in a mighty way, oh God. Yes. Father, each and everyone, oh God, touch us, Lord, that we'll have that revelation of that word as Brother Tony brings it straight from the courts of heaven. Lord God, we bless your holy name. We give you all the honor and glory and praise this morning. We thank you, O God, for your love and your mercy upon us, O God. Thank you for your gift of salvation unto us. Thank you, Lord, for your word in this end days, Lord God. We are thankful, O God, for you, O God, for the prophet, O God, who have revealed all these things, Lord God. We bless your holy name. We give you all the honor and glory and praise. I pray you meet the needs of your children, O God. May you meet their needs, O Lord, in every way. Bless this offering and use it for the furtherance of your kingdom. In no other name but the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, with thanksgiving we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Just want to remind you this morning, so it's a little different. We're going to have, for the past 2 weeks, we've been speaking about shout, voice, trump, and you need to get a little more into that. But this morning, Brother Tony is going to just have some questions and answers this morning. A lot of questions to ask, and you're free to ask the questions that you want to get answered. Okay, so we won't take much time up. This time is fast moving on, so let us all sing. Only believe,
yes.
Only believe all things are possible.
Oh, baby, yeah.
So let's try and be in the house of the Lord. We're going to have a grand time again.
Amen.
And I guess his wife and his family will be here. So let us try and be in the house of the Lord on Sunday morning. All right, let us all stand and take up the morning's offering.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord, for your word in this end days, Lord God. We are
thankful, O God, for you, O God, for the prophet, O God, who have revealed all these things, Lord God. We bless your holy name. We give you all the honor and glory and praise. I pray you meet the needs of your children, O God. May you meet their needs, O Lord, in every way. Bless this offering and use it for the furtherance of your kingdom. In no other name but the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, with thanksgiving we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Just want to remind you this morning, so it's a little different. We're going to have, for the past 2 weeks, we've been speaking about shout, voice, trump. And we need to get a little more into that. But this morning, we're only going to just have some questions and answers this morning. A lot of questions to ask. And you're free to ask the questions that you want to get answered. Okay, so we won't take much time up. This time is fast moving on. So let us all sing. Only believe.
Yes.
Only believe all things are possible.
Oh, baby, believe.
This morning, with all our hearts, Almighty God, gracious Heavenly Father, we are grateful to be included in your great grace this morning. Each one of us can be anywhere this morning, but as Jesus walked into that city and was speaking to many, he said, "All that the Father has given me will come to me." We believe we have great hope in being here. Because each minister was called and born again, gifted, represents you. He said, as the Father sent me, so I send you. And we know that each one of us represents his hands, his feet,
Amen.
His mouth,
Amen.
His mind, and his word. We are grateful, Lord, that they are the ones who have been drawn unto you. We represent you here this morning. May you bless them. May you anoint them. May you give them that which they have need of, the desires of their hearts.
Yes, Lord.
They came not looking for silver or for gold.
Amen, Lord.
They did not come to palaces where kings reside. Did not come to hear fine speakers, but they came, Lord, to shepherds, because shepherds know how to feed.
That's right.
Shepherds know, Lord, sheep.
Glory to God.
Therefore, Lord, we come. This is your provided way, and we have confidence, Lord, that you would meet us, and you would bless each and everyone here, Lord, even before they walk out that door today. They would leave something of eternal value. That will root them, ground them, cause them to be wise men and women, make better decisions that you might be able to bless
Amen.
Them. Commit all that will be done and said, this flock and the headship that you have placed them under, we bless them now, proclaim them yours in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you happy this morning?
Yes.
Amen.
Let's give the Lord a hand of praise.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Privileged to be here and to be in fellowship with you. This ministry and this flock has been a great blessing to the bride. You might not know, you might not have traveled, you might not have seen, but you can hear and believe that from you come a lot of support that helps support the different mission works around the world. And in that day, maybe Brother Henry might not say much, but he has done much and continues to do much through his work and support of the missions that is being done even as we speak today. So I thank you on behalf of those churches and those reverends who take the gospel out to wherever is needful for the seed to be sown and directed by God and blessed to do what they are called to do. So thank you very much, and may God continue to bless each and every one of you. If you have your Bibles, and you have to forgive me here a little bit, because I have things right in front of me and I just don't see it. And so what I'll do is I'll just type it in. And that's from 1 Thessalonians 4. And if you want to, we will use that for our text. 1 Thessalonians 4. And of course, let's start from the 14th verse. And I'm going to read this and we'll use it for our text. But I'm going to take whatever questions you have and see how the Lord will allow us to kind of answer them, maybe if all fit into the picture. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. You may be seated. May God add a blessing. So I'm just going to make some comments while I read, and so that you can maybe be enlightened just a little. So even them which also sleep in Jesus, even them. So here, this scripture is being written for people in the end time. It's an end time scripture. And an end time scripture meaning it will take a prophet. In the days of a prophet, this scripture will come into enlightenment.
Right.
It will remain dormant and allow theologians and many who are sincere, even in the ministry over the ages, to look into it and, of course, to have their ideas or presume. And even the prophet himself at one point would look into it and have his ideas, just like all men. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus. Now we come to know that them that sleep in Jesus is them that died in Christ in seven church ages.
Right.
To die in Jesus is not to die in Methodist, Baptist, Pentecostal, Seventh-day Adventist. Has nothing to do with that. If you did not die under the feet of the messenger for your day, under that star, you were born under a star and you will die under a star.
Amen.
And you will be risen by the morning star.
Amen.
And so if for us, for the believers in the end time, this scripture absolutely goes back and picks up the believers for seven church ages, because that's our body. We are part of that body.
Hallelujah.
And if you are not connected with that body, you are never going to rise.
Amen.
And so everyone outside of that star, in the age of Luther, if you were not a true Lutheran for that day, born under Luther, there was no organization of Lutherans then.
Right.
There was just the man Luther.
Right.
And if you were not under that, if you did not die in that faith, believing that word for that day,
amen,
it meant that you did not have the Spirit of God.
Amen.
So let me just, before I break down the scriptures just a little bit, I want you to notice the prophet said, what happens? How can a sinner ever meet a holy God? How can he ever even talk to a holy God?
Come on.
He said, God made a provided way. He said, you brought a lamb that was acceptable.
Right.
Amen.
Represented without spot or blemish. He said, you lay your hands by faith upon that lamb.
Amen.
And then you confess. Now, many a times you don't find everything the prophet says in one statement. It's everywhere. But what are you confessing? You say, well, I'm confessing my wrong. The most important thing to confess is the nature of that lamb is representing the nature that you should have.
Right.
And the death of the lamb is representing that nature, that lamb is dying so that you could possess that nature. The lamb becomes you and you become the lamb. Right? Vicariously. And the other thing I want you to notice, that when he says, and then when you lay your hands upon the lamb and you identify, the greatest sin you can confess is that you are a sinner. The greatest knowledge you can have outside of God is the knowledge that you are a sinner. And the knowledge of how you became a sinner. If you were never taught how you became a sinner, you'll never know how to become righteous.
Right.
And the reason you come to church will always be wrong, and you'll never ever be empowered. You will never enjoy Christianity. And you'll always have a monkey on your back. You'll never be free. You'll never feel justified.
Right.
You'll always live in condemnation. And right. You'll still be in the greatest message, hearing the greatest truth, and wondering, why don't I feel this liberty, this power? Because of one simple step, the very first step that you ever made. If that one step is wrong, if whoever led you to Christ did not lead you right, you will never enjoy Christianity.
That's right, brother.
That's how important it is. That is why the scripture specifically says, you have no right to witness to anyone unless you are born again.
Amen.
But the Baptists, we know they can't be born again. The Methodist, Pentecostal, there's no life outside of the Word. And the Word comes by a messenger for your name. Alright? So, therefore, look how much missionaries are out there. Evangelists, look how many services are being done. And the specific scripture says, after you're born again,
right,
after the Holy Ghost has come,
amen,
then you'll be witnesses.
Amen, amen.
Isn't that not true?
True.
Look how many ministers, now I'll show you the deception of it. Look how many good speakers there are out there. Affluent, diction is perfect, educated,
right,
very well spoken, communicate their message very well,
sure,
and they're not born again.
It's good.
Amen.
And look how many people believe their pastors are born again.
Sure.
Every denomination believes,
sure,
their minister is born again. Even though the Methodists don't agree with the Catholic, or the Catholic don't agree with the Pentecostal, but every single one of them will not say each other is not born again. Because once you start throwing that slang around, it comes back to you.
Amen.
Are you ready?
Amen.
In the very message of the hour.
Come on.
Right? The coming message church is there in Trinidad.
Come on.
And every message here believe their pastor is born again.
That's good, brother.
Come on.
Amen.
That's good, brother. Preach.
But this is what the prophet said. When a sinner lays his hand upon the lamb, he said the life of that lamb, spirit of that lamb comes back.
Amen.
But he makes it clear it was only representing that. Because
right.
The spirit of an animal can't come back.
Right.
A lower life cannot come back.
Amen.
And a human life cannot come back. It was only representing that the life of the Lamb that would come would possess the life of God. And then that life,
amen,
of the Holy Spirit will come back.
Amen.
Amen.
Now how does it come back? Like float through the air? No. The life only comes through the Word.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Who did Adam get life? By the spoken word.
Right.
Therefore, the spoken word for the day is the conduit for the life to come back.
Amen.
And therefore, if you're not under the messenger of the day, you're outside of life. So the messenger becomes a representative of God. He becomes Jesus to you.
Yes, Lord.
Let us take the first part, dying in Christ, them that sleep in Jesus. So the messenger, and that's called the law of representation.
Amen.
And that law is John 13:20. He that receive whoever I send, receive me. And
Glory.
Whosoever that receive me. Now the message church died right there. Because the message church believe Jesus and God is one like your finger.
Right.
Watch the scripture now. He that receive me, receive him that sent me.
Glory.
Unless language lost its meaning. So once you believe that Jesus and God is one like your finger, you're already dead.
Right.
Amen.
Right? They are one, but not like your finger is one.
Right.
And therefore, outside of the messenger, that scripture tells me, if you actually believe it, says, he that receive whom I send, receive me, meaning that if I receive Luther, you are receiving Jesus. And if you believe Luther, you are believing Jesus. If you follow Luther, you are following Jesus.
Right.
And therefore, if you died believing, you died in Christ.
Amen.
That's right.
So Luther became Jesus.
Amen.
So does every messenger of the age. To reject
Amen.
Them, how can I do this? Can I give you this? And therefore, you can pull up the scriptures.
Yes.
I have got Esau here. I'd like for you to read while I, you know, because you can pull up John 13:20. Are you happy this morning?
Yes, Lord.
And so let me just finish with this little clip here. So if you receive the messenger of the age, you're receiving, that's the law. It's called the law of representation. This law is very powerful. It's so powerful that if you don't know it, you could never really understand the prophet messenger.
Amen.
You will understand it intellectually, and you'll try to figure it out intellectually. But the intellectual understanding of what the prophet says always leads you wrong.
Amen.
Always leads you wrong. And I'm going to give you a couple examples of that. Simple things. So, the messenger for every age represents Christ.
Correct.
And that law of representation means that if you accept him, you're accepting Christ, following Christ, believing Christ. And it also meant that you were believing God. Because no man at any time had seen God.
Amen.
If Jesus and God was one like your finger, and you see Jesus, and you say, that is God like your finger, you broke every scripture in the Bible. Because no man at any time had seen God. God can only be known by characteristics.
Amen.
Is that what you were taught? So you begin to see the flaws begin to pop up. Things that you might have thought of, but was explained away when you came to the message. That you are even afraid to question. Because it's explained away. But they're legitimate questions.
Come on.
Did Jesus come or was he sent? He said he was sent. Well, who sent him? No. He sent himself. That's beginning to lose language right there.
Right.
Something's not right. Right? So if you don't understand this law of representation, you actually can't, you really don't understand the message of the Bible, and you can't really actually believe. Because your believing will have no power in it.
Right.
Because God cannot bless you in error. If he blesses you in error, it will encourage you to be in more error.
That's right. That's good.
Is it just like your child is believing something wrong, doing something wrong, you're blessing him?
Right.
How can he do that? And that is why true believers cannot feel the power, and they are sincere in what they, I want to believe, I want to live right, I want to do but it's grounded. Let's take the law of representation, the first part of that. Now, how did you become a sinner? How did you become a sinner? I'm still on 1 Thessalonians 4. We're going to get to the Sean voice and Trump. Right? But to get to that, you need the law of representation.
Right?
You need the law of representation. Since you cannot see God, and since God cannot be heard audible, because the last time God spoke audible to a group of people, they run and hide.
Yeah,
and they started crying and said, "Don't let God speak. Don't let God speak.
Sure.
Let God speak to one man. Let Moses speak."
Amen.
And God said in the very words, "Since they asked that, I will no longer speak to them in a group. I will no longer speak to mortal men audible. But since they asked for a man to speak to them, I will speak to Moses and Moses." So I'll speak through prophets.
Amen.
So prophets are actually the highest representation of God.
Amen, brother.
So before I get to the law of representation, let me give you some examples that, if you don't know, can cause you a lot of troubles. How did you become a sinner?
Representation.
By representation.
That's right.
That's right. Because if you're here, especially maybe there's some young people who think that they are bad because they do bad things, that's not true.
Come on.
Your doing doesn't make you bad.
True.
It's because you're bad you do bad things. Your doing doesn't make you bad.
Amen.
Your sinning doesn't make you a
Amen.
Sinner. It only confirms that you are a sinner.
Correct.
So if I change all the doing, I will still be a sinner.
Amen.
And if you get in your mind coming to church and believing all the word will change you,
Yeah.
You will still be a sinner even though you change your habits.
Preach.
And you'll never enjoy Christianity.
Truth.
And if you came to this message wrong because somebody told you that Eve didn't eat an apple, or somebody told you that baptizing the Father, Son, Holy Ghost was wrong, and you came in and you accepted the prophet as a prophet and what he said was true, and you tried to follow this message and live right without the very first step to know that doing everything the message says does not save you.
Amen.
And no matter how much you change,
true.
It matters not to your conscience.
True.
Because changing your ways doesn't change who you are.
Amen.
True.
The very first step is to know that I became a sinner not by doing. I became a sinner by what Adam did.
That's right.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Just like somebody is a diabetic and yet they didn't eat any sugars.
Yes, yes, yes.
They got that from their genes.
Jesus.
That's the natural.
Amen.
You are a sinner because of what Adam did.
Amen.
And you never became an enemy of God. Listen carefully.
Come on.
You never became an enemy of God by doing. So no matter if you don't do anything wrong, you're still an enemy of God. A baby that's born one day old is an
Amen.
Enemy of God.
Amen.
Even if it did nothing.
Amen.
It was he was born with the nature of Adam.
That's right.
Amen.
And guess what? When God looks down, he never saw the baby. You might name him Jerry. God don't see Jerry.
Right.
You might name him Tom. God don't see Tom.
That's right.
God sees Adam.
Amen.
He don't see. You're either going to be seen as Adam, Moses, or Jesus.
That's good. Glory.
Amen.
Adam and Moses are interchangeable. Both of them can bring condemnation to you. Only one can justify.
Hallelujah.
Right? So therefore, this idea that we have, that we come to the message, don't cut our hair, wear long dress, We don't go here, we don't do this, we don't do that. And you have done all of that, sisters.
Sure.
And you don't feel peace, you don't feel empowerment, you don't feel justified, you don't feel near to God, or you don't feel God's near to you. It's all based on the first step that you ever took.
Richard,
truth. I tell you the truth, I don't know where I just started. So somebody must need this.
Amen.
Yeah, somebody must meet this. I don't have any idea that I was going to move, right? But since I'm in it already, it must be somebody needed, right?
Amen.
If you get this, you leave here a different person.
Come on.
And it'll set you up to come into transforming power.
Hallelujah.
But I can preach shout worse than Trump, and you hear and you say, oh wow, I didn't know that. Oh wow, that makes sense. Oh wow. And you leave here and it will leave you.
Right. Right.
Because you cannot put a roof on walls that have no foundation.
Amen. Amen.
The foundation
amen.
Has to be right.
Amen.
For you to
amen.
Ever feel connected where the pillars are connected to the foundation.
Yes, Lord.
And the roof is connected to the pillars.
Roof.
And the
Glory.
Ceiling. Says, you know what? I feel that I'm covering something.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm definitely a part of this building.
Please, mother.
Outside of that, no go. So if you never became a sinner by doing, how can you become righteous by not doing?
Right.
If you do or don't do, if you come to a church, if you come to a message church, you do everything William Branham says do.
Come on.
You're still going nowhere. And that's
true.
Where the trouble lies with
Amen.
First generation.
Amen.
First generation actually spent more time in conduct, order, and doctrine than they spent in the free gift of salvation.
Amen.
You can't save somebody who's clean because they actually think they don't need to be saved.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
So the worst thing is a holy sinner. A holy sinner is the most dangerous person there is.
Amen.
And the greatest stumbling block to Christianity.
Amen.
Wow. It's true, brother.
And that's what the message produced.
True.
Holy sinners. People are cleaned up. Women with long hair, long dress, trying to be as obedient to their husband as possible. Husbands trying to keep their house in order and their wife under headship and I just can't feel.
You're the Lord.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh,
and I compliment many of them because they do it because they know it's the right thing to do. But they don't get any benefits from it because they go about the wrong way to do it.
Right.
Amen.
From the sun. Amen.
So the question about it, why do you dress the way you dress, behave the way you behave, and do the things you do? What motivates you? Most people tell you because the prophet said it. Because
Amen.
It's in the word.
Amen.
Why do you do it? What benefits do you get from it? What benefits are you getting from conduct, order, and doctrine?
It's good, brother. That's
what
good.
Benefits?
That's good. Preach.
But Henry, if I even make this monologue, opening monologue in an opening church, I'll have every pastor uncomfortable.
Yes.
Every church pastor uncomfortable. Especially the older they are, more uncomfortable
yes,
they will be.
Yes.
Amen, amen.
Yes.
Because they did not know how to present the message.
Amen.
Amen.
They presented a prophet, but away from Christ. And the prophet says, in the rising of the sun, he says, I perceive that we are not taking the people to Christ.
Amen.
See? So the first part that you want to make sure that your foundation is right is to know that I am condemned because of what Adam did.
Right.
I'm a sinner by what Adam did. And to prove it, the things I do prove that I am a sinner.
Amen.
But sinning does not add more to my crime.
Right.
That's kind of hard to say. If a man commits two sins in his lifetime, and another man committed a 10,000 sin, they both will go to the same place.
Amen. Amen.
Now, the self-righteous will say, that's wrong.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
Amen.
I'm going to go one step further. If a baby, let's say a child, right, young child, dies without even doing any wrong, and a man who's 50 years old has 10,000 wrong, they both end up in the same place. Because doing is not what they are condemned for.
Right.
You're condemned for who you are.
Right.
You're condemned for who represents you.
Amen, amen, amen.
You're condemned because you belong to a race, an
yes.
Adamic race.
Hallelujah. Peace, brother.
That. Now that's how God thinks. Now if you don't think like that,
yes,
you are just going to be religious.
Amen.
And you're going to try your level best. And you're going to succeed even to a place of holiness. Because foolish
Amen.
Virgin is holy.
Amen.
Amen.
Holiness, Nazarene, is holy. And you will be very disappointed.
Oh, man.
Because that's not what God wants.
Amen. Amen.
Right? So, before I break it down a little bit and help some of the young people, I'm sure there's young people up there. I see some of them up there. Oh, parents, how to lead your children to Christ.
Come on, brother.
Because people who were born in a message are the most dangerous, in most dangerous position, because
Amen.
The pastor is happy to see the parents bring them to church.
Amen.
And the pastor is happy to see the parents teach them how to dress.
Right.
And the pastor shows the parents teach them how to behave. And but the pastor and the parent never told them that they're in danger, because you see, you're born with a Christian parent and this is our holy lifestyle. But if you do it, honey, that's not what saves you. You still have to know you're a sinner and you have the nature of a sinner.
Amen.
And you were born that way.
Amen.
So being born in a message church is
nothing.
The greatest danger there could be.
Amen.
If the parents or the pastor does not know that they need to know to look in the mirror to see themselves. Because unless you know who you are, you can't repent.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
See? Adam. Everybody agree that if you can live holy, if you were born and were given this message, and you can live holy, live everything the message said, would you still make it?
Right.
Would God take you? If he can take you because you can live right, because you can do what he says, Christ died in vain and you just spit in Christ's face.
True.
You just belittle the greatest gift that God can give man, because you just said, give me the message.
That's right.
And I would live it.
Yeah.
Isn't that what you said?
Right.
When you came in, isn't that your idea? I know there's a prophet and everything he said I know is true, and I'm going to do everything he says. Isn't that where your safety came in? You felt good and you felt justified to do that?
Yes.
Now tell me who's deceived. You can be in the very message and be deceived and don't even know it.
Amen.
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 Amen. Wow. That's deep, brother. Preach.
If God was looking for holiness, the foolish virgin has to go.
Amen. Amen. They
have to go.
Yes.
And if your mentality is that, if that's what you've got when you came to the message, that's what the message is looking for. You know what God is looking for.
Hmm.
If the foolish virgin don't go, you're not going either.
Amen.
True. Wow. so rich, Brother, preach.
So the first step in salvation, that you could say that if you die today or tomorrow, you can be in the scripture and says, they that sleep in Jesus. For you to make that statement, for you to sleep in Jesus, you can believe the message and follow the message and live holy. But if you did not come right,
Amen.
You still did not sleep in Jesus.
Amen.
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 See, you become an impersonation of Christianity.
Amen. Wow.
And the impersonation of Christianity is to impersonate the messenger and the message for your day.
Amen.
Right.
You're impersonating what a true bride should be, because the outside is doing everything he says, but the inside never acknowledged that the reason I'm doing it is not for salvation. The reason I'm doing it is because I've been saved. And I've been saved because I know I became a sinner because of what Adam did. And I'm righteous because of what Christ did. So my doing the message doesn't make me righteous.
Amen.
Wow.
My holiness doesn't make me righteous.
Amen.
It does not. Righteous is that you have a revelation.
Amen.
And that revelation says that he became me. He became me. And if he became me and I'm a sinner, that I become him.
Amen.
That's how God sees me.
Amen.
I don't care how you feel, and I don't care what you think. That's how God thinks. And he's not changing, it's you the one changing the rules. Because God said before, when I see you, I see Adam.
Amen.
Right?
Right? And then now, when he sees you, he says, I see Christ.
Glory.
And Satan is saying, but he did this, and he said, he is not what he is by doing, he is by he is who represents him.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
It's called a law of representation.
That's good.
And that law says that how you must first know that you're a sinner, how you become a sinner,
Amen.
Before you can know how to become righteous.
Amen.
And
Amen.
How you become righteous? You acknowledge nothing you can do can change your position with God.
Amen.
Nothing that you can do. How do you say that? There's nothing you could do to change your position with God. If God doesn't do something for you,
right.
You will remain in that position.
Amen.
That's what called grace.
Amen.
Doing something
Amen.
That you cannot do for yourself.
Amen.
That's what grace is.
Hallelujah.
Unmeritedly.
Hallelujah.
He did something you could not do for yourself.
Glory.
And we sing it all the time, but we don't know what it means. He paid the price.
Right.
Is that right? That you couldn't pay?
Yes.
He did that. And any time you put what he did second place to what you do, and that you should get credit for what you're doing, and that you should be closer to God because of what you're doing,
it's
Christ died in vain.
That's right.
Amen.
There is no comparison to what you do
yes.
compared to what he did.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
And any time you tie what you do to your position, to your salvation, to your safety,
mm-hmm.
to your relationship with God, what you do
right.
here in relation to him being a savior, you just rejected
right.
Christ.
Amen, amen.
True, true, true.
See?
That's good.
True, true, true. So, that's the first law of representation.
Amen.
Is that you were born with the nature to represent Adam. And you got that nature based on what he did.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
And you will have a new nature based on what Christ did. If you accept Christ, God accepts you.
Correct.
But the only reason you're accepting Christ is because nothing you can do to change your status.
Amen.
So therefore, God just got you. Your first commandment is fulfilled in accepting Christ. What is the first commandment? You shall have no other gods. Right? Believe the Lord with all your heart. Love the Lord with all your heart. You have no other gods, right? No. So now he says, when you receive me, you receive him that sent me.
Amen.
If you believe me, you believe him that sent me. Now since he is invisible,
Amen.
When you have faith in Christ, God and teach you us having faith in God. And that's first commandment. You have no other. And when you are not looking for any good works to save you, when you're not looking for any change of behavior to save you, the only thing that save you is that he, in what he did, who he is and what he did,
amen,
then you are not looking to any other gods,
hallelujah,
for salvation.
Amen.
God forced you to only have one provided way,
amen,
and in faith in Christ is faith in God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Glory, glory.
To believe in Christ is to believe in God. That's First Peter 1:19. You can read, put it up. First Peter 1:19. Give me the chapter. Oh, I think we're on our way. Every time I preach this, I feel energized.
Amen.
I feel happy. I feel all the weight off my shoulder, all the monkey off my back.
Amen.
And I. Okay, are you beginning to feel that way? Oh, those of you who have been that way, It never gets old.
Right.
You know, it's the thing, down at the cross. You know?
Amen.
Well, all those things come back to you, and then you begin to remember. Well, that's the way that I felt when I first was introduced. Even the denomination used to introduce Christ that way.
Amen.
They used to introduce Christ that way.
Amen.
But the message preachers not understand it took that out of us, and they
Amen.
It says there, for as much as you, that's 19 verse. Oh, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish or without God, verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested these last times for you. What's the word? Who by him? The word by is the word agency. Who, by the agency of him, which is Christ, do believe in God.
Mm-hmm.
And through Christ, through the agency, you believe in God. If you say you believe in God outside of Christ, you don't believe in God, or you have another God. Because you can't believe in somebody invisible. So God,
amen,
allowed a representative to become tangible.
Amen.
And God represented himself as being himself in Christ.
Amen.
And that's how you believe that Jesus is God. He's God by blood. He's God by biology. He's God by incarnation. He's God by representation. He's God by a species. But he's not God like your finger.
Right.
Once you believe in Christ, you are believing in God, and you are keeping the first commandment, and you're doing it without works, you're doing it by faith.
Amen.
And the law must be kept by what? Faith.
Amen.
Right? Well, one more thing, that the power of Christ. What's the power of Christ? Now, there's only two laws, the commandments, ten commandments are broken into two great laws.
Come on.
The love of the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. And love your neighbor as yourself.
Right.
Right? So now, when you come to Christ, I'm just going to just do this little piece here, and then I'll get back to the question. But somehow I led this way, so I'm going.
Amen.
I want you to notice, if you came right, what it did is that you are coming to the plan of salvation. The plan of salvation is represented by the tent of Moses, tent of meeting, or tabernacle of Moses,
mm-hmm,
and they have three courts. The outer court, the inner court, and the Holy of Holies.
Right.
This represents Jesus, and Jesus represents the plan of redemption. God's plan of redemption.
Amen.
So this represents Jesus, and there is no way outside of the cross, and the cross is represented by a brass altar,
amen,
where the sacrifice was consumed. And there was a brass laver made out of polished brass filled with water where you must be washed. Sacrifice must be washed. Then there were seven golden candlesticks. I'm not going to put it in the right order because it doesn't look right when I draw it on the board. And there are 7 golden candlesticks on a table of showbread.
Right.
Representing two six rows of, representing 12 loaves of bread. And then there was an altar of incense.
Right.
And then there was the ark, the mercy seat, the cherubims, and the Shekinah presence of God.
Amen.
In the ark was the word, was the law, was Moses' rod.
Amen.
That bought it.
Amen.
Is that right? And the Ten Commandments. I mean a pot of manna. So 10 Commandments, Moses' rod, Aaron's rod, and the manna. So this represents Jesus, the plan of redemption. He said he is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no way outside of the cross.
Amen.
Is that right?
That's right.
There's no way outside the cross. That's God's only provided way.
Amen.
But why would you go to the cross? The only way you go to the cross is first if you come to the brass laver. It was made of polished brass. And it was made of polished brass because that's what you used to use as mirrors. And the polished brass reflected the image of yourself. And if yourself doesn't go back to Adam and what he did to make you a sinner, you're still a sinner.
Amen.
Even now.
Amen.
You could follow the message and still be seen as Adam. You can live holding a message and still be seen as Adam. The only way that you are not seen as Adam is if you are in Christ. If you are in Christ, you are hid from the judgment of Moses. You see, to answer Moses, for them to see who they are, that they were Adam and they were sinner by nature, because they didn't really believe that they were sinner by nature. So they told God, Moses, go to the mountain and ask God all the quotes that he wants. All the quotes that he gives us, we will do it.
Amen, amen.
And Brother said that was Israel's mistake.
Amen.
I'm putting it in a language you will understand.
Yes,
Moses, go up to the pillar of fire.
Amen.
And give it time to give us all the quotes in the little books and we will keep it.
Amen.
And God said, okay. So you think with your fallen nature, you could live like me. You are a pig and you want to live like a stallion. Or you think you can live like me. So that's what we do. We end the message when we come. We still have this nature, but we say, tell us what God says. And we will do it. And the priesthood says, I'll keep on telling you. And we never have peace.
Amen.
Amen. Sanctification. Amen.
Right?
Amen.
There's some things I could say there, but I better not say that. It'll just keep us here too long. But the older ones will understand a lot more than the younger ones. What went through the message, the changes, the preaching of the cross out of the message. The preaching out of faith in who Christ is. There are 3 faiths.
Right.
There's faith in Christ. There's a faith of Christ.
Right.
And there's perfect faith.
Wow.
Or we call it shalom. This is what you must come to first. You must have faith or trust, daring trust, that no matter how terrible I am, that he, when he died,
right,
he took my place.
Amen.
Now, if he took my place as a sinner, how can God ever see me as a sinner? The only way he'll see me as a sinner is when I don't believe that. It's when I start looking at myself and what I am doing and how I'm feeling and the thoughts I still have. If you let that dictate who you are, you deny what God says you are in Christ.
That's right.
If you're looking to feel good here, if you're looking to be justified here, if you're thinking, I want to approve this man and that will make me feel good, if you're thinking how much I keep up the message and how much I'm a good person,
right,
that'll never cause you. And I want Brother Henry, because if he can bring you to adoption, oh my, I share that glory. I share that victory. But you never get there if your ABCs are wrong.
That's good, brother.
See, you never get there if that's wrong.
Amen.
Let me say, the brother, did you grow up with open Bible? Didn't open Bible teach this? That's number one. They didn't know anything else, but they knew this. They knew this. Most denominations know this is what they brag about. But they know nothing else. They can never bring you the faith of Christ. They're here. And that's only your beginning.
Amen.
Right? But we try to get you here and here, but we take over this when we come to the message.
That's the capstone. Bringing you up. Amen.
See? So this is called a law of representation. If you actually believe that you cannot help yourself by changing or keeping the law, just like they tried to keep the Ten Commandments and never kept it. If you believe keeping the message is going to change your status with God and give you favor with God, no.
Amen.
You're actually insulting God.
Right.
Because you're telling him, why are you so unwise? You can just tell me what you want and I will do it. Christ didn't need to die.
Right.
You don't need all these lambs that were slain all these years. Thousands of lambs and bulls. You wasted your time.
Amen.
When you come to a place where you don't trust yourself, and you know that nothing you
Hallelujah.
Do can give you favor with God,
Hallelujah.
Then what actually pleases God is when God comes to a place where he sees you don't trust yourself.
Amen.
But if you don't trust yourself and in any other way to be justified before God,
come on,
or to have favor with God, or to please God,
come on,
but only faith in who Christ is, the Son of God, and what he did.
Amen, amen.
When your faith is only in that that pleases God, only that's the highest of all good works.
Amen.
Long hair, long dress could never please God as that pleases God, because
Amen.
You don't trust yourself
Amen.
Or any other provided
Hallelujah.
Way. That's Christ and Christ alone. And
Amen.
That's what Luther found out when the faith began to come back. He said, Christ and Christ alone.
Amen.
Faith and faith alone.
Amen.
Ah, now, that's the highest of all good works. You want to see the highest of all good works? This is the highest one. John 6:29. How do we do the works of God? The highest of all good works, the thing that pleases God the most, is when a man does not trust himself.
Wow. Glory.
He said, can that be? God said, every heart is deceitful.
Amen.
Above all things.
Amen.
And then he asked the question, who can know their heart?
Amen.
And even David said, Lord, I can search, but I don't trust myself to search. He said, search me.
Amen.
See if they're being, because I am biased.
Amen.
6:29. Jesus, they asked him. Then they said unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? What shall we do? They said, the highest thing you can do. Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that he believe on whom he has sent. I can't hear that.
Amen.
You mean it's not the doing?
Right.
Your doing has nothing to do with salvation.
Amen.
Your dressing has nothing to do with salvation.
Amen.
You change the nature of a rabbit. Let's say that you were a horse, and you change your nature of a rabbit, and see if you don't want to hop and not run.
True. Amen, amen.
It will follow.
True.
It will follow.
Amen, amen.
Faith in Christ says, I have no faith in myself.
Amen.
And I have no faith in any rules, laws,
Amen.
Any conduct, any order, any
Amen.
Doctrine,
Amen.
I have no faith in that
Amen.
For salvation.
Amen.
Only Christ
Right.
alone. Those things will have its place, to identify me as a separated person dedicated to God, but that is only because I am dedicated to His service. Amen. This has nothing to do with my salvation.
Amen.
Which?
Okay.
Which?
If you tie those two together, you are a false preacher of the gospel.
Amen.
Because you deny Christ and Christ alone.
Amen.
Faith in Christ. That is when the prophet said, you lay your hand upon the Lamb. But that is after you see yourself.
Right.
After you come to the brass laver and you see yourself that you're a sinner not by doing, you're a sinner by birth, and it's nothing you can do to change your status.
Amen.
But God sent His Son. Now that scripture has power. He sent Him because without Him sending you, you'll remain in that condition.
Amen. Amen.
See? Now, this is the light that God sends in the world. The light that God
Amen.
Sends in the world is the light to let you see yourself. Because you can't see yourself unless God shows it to you. The goodness of the Lord leads to repentance. How would you repent if you don't know what you're repenting for?
Amen.
That's right. That's right. Amen.
See, that's what it is. So He sent that. So you know what's the highest of all good works, right? Believe whom He sent.
Amen.
Right? Now, the next thing you want to know is what are you condemned for? So let's go to John 3:18. Let's see what you're condemned for. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. Oh, wait. So it means if you don't believe on Him, you remain condemned. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. You were already condemned before He was introduced to you.
Right.
When you're introduced and you reject Him, you're even more condemned. Because now you know better and you reject Him.
Amen.
So what are you condemned for? How many would not like to be condemned?
Right.
So is this anything about doing or Him? Believe in Him. Him and who He has sent. Him. What is the first thing you have to believe that why God sent Him? God sent Him to take your place.
Right.
See? And this is the confidence you must have. It's called Luther called it. Luther, the messenger of God, calls it reckless, daring faith. To believe that I am still in my terrible self, my thinking, my action, my reaction is still terrible. But when I accept Christ, God accepts me.
Glory.
And when God looks at me, He don't see Adam no more. He sees Christ. And Satan said, well, look what he's doing. He said, but I see only Christ.
Glory.
And when you now not trained, not taught, don't know, you're looking at yourself, your feeling, your thinking, and you're right back to denying what He did for you.
Amen.
So if He saved you, how can you ever be lost? If your testimony is that He died, took my place, and I am saved, the only reason that you cannot save or don't feel you're saved is you don't believe it.
Amen.
Because you can't feel it.
Amen.
If you can feel it, you don't need faith.
Amen. Amen.
Then you can walk in the midst of the fire on your fault.
Hallelujah.
And nothing can condemn you.
Hallelujah.
Because my doing didn't justify me. My not doing cannot justify me.
Glory to God.
It's what He did.
Amen.
Satan said, well, look what you're doing. Look what you're reacting. Say, ain't God good? I'm so glad it's not by my doing or not doing. I'm justified. It's by what He did. As long as Satan can get you to focus on you, your shortcoming, your feet, you have not arrived at what the key of the gospel is. The key of the gospel is to always point, but I am acceptable with all my Satan. Guess what? This is a real plan.
Yes, Lord.
But all of my fault, all of my failing, look what he did.
Look at the mission. Hallelujah.
Look what he did.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
He said, God, how can God accept with all my faults? He didn't accept with all your faults. He made a way for you with all your faults.
Amen.
If you're the one who has to accept his provided way. When you can get that into your heart,
hallelujah,
you're on your way to be to be asleep in Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
That if you die here today,
yes, sure,
after this minute, after this hour, you can say, he's sleeping in Jesus.
Amen.
The preacher can say, you know, he's sleeping in Jesus.
Amen.
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 Not because he followed the message, because 2 million was called on by a prophet.
Amen.
Only 1 in 1 million made it.
Right.
The rest of the message didn't make it. Otherwise, if you say they're in the message, if they died in Christ, that make the whole thing wrong. The 2 million that followed a prophet with a pillar of fire that came out in the Exodus didn't make it. They didn't die in Jesus.
Amen.
The prophet said they're eternally lost. So don't think yourself to be safe. The only safety there is in your faith in who he is and what he did for you. And when he accepts your faith,
amen,
then he sends a message back. And when that message comes, it has so much confusion. This preacher preaching two souls, this preacher preaching Jesus and God is one like your finger, this one preaching this one preaching polygamy, this one preaching this. No, you don't know. So if you are not seen, you'll never end up here.
Amen.
All those great message numbers that they have and churches that they have, they all think they're right.
Sure.
Ask them one or two questions. Who are you to question me? I ain't been here 40 years, you know. See, that is where the devil hides, Brother Henry.
Amen.
The preacher have the right to question your experience. Well, you have the token, you have the Holy Ghost. Yeah. But nobody questioned them, and they're the most dangerous. Nobody asks where you got the Holy Ghost from, who you got it from. Because the prophet say, life comes through the body.
Amen.
You can't be sitting and somebody tap your shoulder and say, well, I'm born again. You can't be moved from this part of the room to that part of the room and say, how I experience. The Bible said, you must meet somebody from the body who is born again.
That's right.
Amen.
Right? So let me just finish the Jesus thing, right? If you don't mind. Everybody get this?
Yes.
Where's your confidence that you are righteous? Let me read it for you, for the young people. That's for the young people. See, what is your condemnation? God don't condemn you for being a sinner.
Mm-hmm.
You're condemned because of Adam. The second condemnation that comes around is when you reject Christ.
Amen.
How can God condemn a pig for being a pig?
Right.
If he expects you to be a pig and live like a horse, well, there's something wrong with God. So he don't condemn you for being Adamic. He know you were born with it. He condemn you for rejecting the chance to change from Adamic to Christ. He condemns you when you accept religion and rules and laws and not accept the person of Christ for your comfort and for your safety.
Amen.
For your security away from his wrath.
Amen.
Amen.
And when you're not trusting in your holiness and your ability to keep and obey and to walk, but you only trust in what he did for you, then you're safe. Then your conscience is safe. Because nothing here that you can do and fail in can frighten you
right.
about death, hell, and the grave.
Amen.
Because he took care of that.
Amen.
What he did took care of that.
Amen.
Then you're ready to live holy.
Yes, God.
Then you're ready to live right. Because none of these things you're doing for fear. None of these things you're doing because of any selfish motive.
Right.
Because if salvation is taken care of, what you're taking care of? The two greatest commandments. The, you know, Seventh-day Adventists say, well, brother, you know, you gotta keep the Sabbath. And, you know, the commandments are done away, the ceremonial, but the moral laws of God, the character of God, you have to keep.
Right.
Right? Faith is not keeping. Faith keeps, but you don't keep. Faith keeps, but you don't keep. I don't trust me to keep nothing.
Amen.
But I trust faith to keep me. Faith. Faith is what keeps or fulfills the law. Say, how is that? The first two laws, believe and love the Lord with all your heart and love your neighbor. Alright? As I said, let's just take that for instance, right? Now you come and you look in the mirror. Can you help yourself? You're a pig. I should use a kind of animal, right? But I have some allegiance to the pig. I love bacon. And I thank God I didn't first come a Muslim. Because I would have been denied bacon and ham and all that stuff. Yeah, it's good to come just a old carnal sinner. You enjoy some of these things. If I become a Hindu, I couldn't eat steak. You see a kind of trouble? So somewhere you have to thank God how you come. Right? Alright, so, okay. Now, watch carefully. If you're born a pig. Now, so, is there any good in you? Is there nature in you to do wrong? Do you try to do wrong or is this automatic? It's alright, right? So do you expect any good thing from you? Alright, do you expect a man who's born in this to lie? To steal? To cheat? So then, God is saying, I can't expect any good thing from you. Therefore, forget about you. Count the old man dead. He said, I want nothing from him. He's dead. Right? There's only one little thing I want from him, his little soul in there. And if he is there, he will keep this in check. Right? There will be a war. But I don't want any good. The outside man can't do anything for me.
Amen.
Right? So, God says, there's no good in you.
Right.
Amen.
Right? You accept Christ because there's no good in you. And you can't help yourself. That's why you accept Christ. You agree?
Amen.
You really believe that? Because if you really believe that, if you really believe in the mirror, then you have no trouble living a Christian life. Hmm. Because if this brother here, if this, I meet him in the bank, I standing in line, all of a sudden he comes, go down two lanes, he'll trip the audience, get into the lane, like he did nothing wrong. Now, you know what's going to happen. He did wrong, right? And you know how you think him. Look at him, blah, 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 blah. Why are you complaining? You just say he's born in sin, he can't help himself, he's acting like a pig because that is what he is, and then you complain him. How can you complain about the sinner then? If he's born a liar and he's lying and causing gossip and trouble, why are you so upset when you yourself know you couldn't help yourself? Why do you expect from the sinner good behavior? Why do you expect them to drive right, do right, to have no violence, to do no evil, to not take advantage? Who is the problem? It's not them. They know who they are. They're behaving exactly. It is you.
That's right.
Who claim after they look at themselves, they're seeing all men like themselves. There's no hope outside of Christ.
Amen.
And God don't expect nothing good from you. You're expecting good from them now.
Come on.
I can't hear you. Who's the hypocrite? Who is expecting good from each other? And when you are not coming right in a church, that's where the Gestapo Nazi action come in. You're watching each other. You see her dress?
Yeah.
You see her. Watch. I wonder what the pastor will say about that now. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
That is the kind of church the message world in Trinidad brought up in.
Yeah,
they brought that up.
Yeah, that's good. I like that.
That's right.
Preach it.
We can't handle injustice from the sinners. Because you see, we never saw ourselves right. We never counted that no man can change or help themselves. Even if the man do good, he's in trouble.
Amen.
If he do bad, he's in the same trouble.
Amen.
Right? But yet we want, what do we want? A pound of flesh?
Amen.
And we're saying when we do wrong, there's a blood offering waiting for us here. But when the sinner do wrong, we want our pound of flesh.
Right.
You can't live an overcoming Christian life if you don't have your first step right.
Start with you. Hallelujah. Preach.
So now, are you ready?
Preach.
There are two kinds of love. There is agape love, which is of God.
Yes.
Right? When did God get agape love? And if you can tell me when he got it? When did God start falling in love? Before the foundation of the world. So I mean God have love without a body. Without a body.
Amen.
When you say body, you mean chemicals, right?
Amen.
So you don't need a body to have God's love.
It's good.
So there are two kind of love. There's love of the body. Through the body, which is called chemical love,
right.
And that is the love we think God have. You know, because chemical love have feelings.
Hallelujah.
You understand? I have a feeling for him, kind of feeling, you know, emotion.
So
and we think that chemical love
rich.
Is love God have, but if God have love, we thought there was a body because
rich.
There were no chemicals there.
Richard, it's so rich.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Huh?
Rich.
So God love have no feelings. The
Amen.
Definition of God's love is doing God's will. Right?
Amen.
Compassion is doing the will of God, right?
So rich, brother.
And if God so loved the world, and I've taken that in a broad sense because the world God love is Adam, Eve, and Eve. Well, let's take it in a general sense. Right? So, if that be true, did the Bible say when you were unlovable, God loved you?
Right.
Amen.
And while you were yet a sinner and unlovable, Christ died for you?
Right.
But yet, when you see the sinner unlovable, like I tell you, deserving of death, you want your former flesh.
Right.
You say, well, why didn't God change them? God didn't change them to remind you that that was you, if not for the grace of God.
Amen.
Every time you see a sinner and they're doing wrong and they're acting wrong, that was me. With my honor, say, look at him. That old devil. You have a devil in him.
Amen.
You're saying, that's me, if not for the grace. He was left there for me to see that that was me, if not for the grace of God. That's what I would have been and was.
Richard, brother.
Glory to God.
All of a sudden, you become an intercessor. Lord, that was me. And if you don't help him, Lord, like you helped me, he will remain in that condition, Lord. All of a sudden, without trying, you begin to intercede. Without trying, you begin to reach out. Without trying, you want to witness.
Amen.
You see, the rules.
Amen.
The gospel has power in it.
Amen, brother.
It's the power of God. Not rules, it's the power of God. It's not laws, it's faith.
Yes. Amen.
You see, victorious living. Look, and you're doing all that and you're not modest and resilient. You can feel for your enemy now because your every single one of them you see outside here was you, if not for the grace of God.
That's right, brother.
Amen.
That's right.
That was me, if not.
Okay,
when everybody is ready to condemn you, brother, I'll need lovely grace of God.
Amen.
Your sister come in there and she went, that was me. I did all of that.
Amen.
That's good.
Because you have removed yourself from the sinful nature.
Amen.
Which is the nature of rebellion.
Right.
And rebellion and conflict.
Right.
Where there's rebellion, there's conflict.
Amen. That's
right.
Is that true?
That's true.
And pride, you say, look at that one. When you say, look at that one, could they do it? I pride. Because you say, look, they're doing that, I'm not doing that.
True.
I'll never do that. What's that? Is that not pride?
Amen.
Yes,
true.
It takes all that. See, Christ humbles you and you don't even have to try.
Amen.
Because how to raise your voice to condemn any action of any sinner when they can't help themselves because Christ never touched them, he touched you.
Amen.
And when you were a sinner and unlovable, he died for you.
That's good, brother.
Now you raise your voice.
Preach the truth. Thank you, Lord.
You don't have to try to live overcoming. You want to live overcoming. You don't want to practiced art of forgiveness, or you would see forgiveness. You enjoy forgiveness because you enjoy God's forgiveness.
Amen.
Because Christian cannot give but that which he receives.
Amen.
And as much forgiveness and mercy and grace and long-suffering you believe you get from him, that is what you are willing to give.
Amen.
That
yes.
means that you're not ungrateful, you're not unthankful. That's how you show your grace. Yeah, that's how you show your thankfulness. Lord, you've given me so much.
Hallelujah.
How can I withhold that Hallelujah. From this man?
Hallelujah.
Yeah? I was a vessel of wrath. That man deserved wrath. That man deserved judgment. Just like I did. But what did you do? Your attitude to him was different.
Amen.
For me. All my attitude would be the same. And while everybody's kind of saying, what he can do to help himself? He can't do anything.
Yeah,
a pig is a, it's like you condemning a pig for being a pig. Now, how sensible is that?
Can I help it? Amen. It's good, buddy. Glory.
Your faith begins to overcome the world.
Amen.
Is that what it says?
Yes.
Your faith overcomes the world. All of a sudden, the whole world seems different. And instead of being a corrector, and somebody want to change people's fault.
Right.
Because in changing your fault and correcting yourself,
Amen.
You got no favor with God.
Amen.
And you ruin your own friendship because people get to be friends and they see their friends little, you know, he spit his nose. Then you realize your friend is only made once every 2 weeks. Then you realize your friend doesn't brush his teeth every day, but you love your friend. In the beginning you love it, you see them perfect. Then all of a sudden now, you're repelling yourself. You want to tell people what he's doing. Ain't not a friend.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Well, Christ now get to, you and him walking all this weaknesses you have, he is covering it.
Covering
yes.
it.
Amen.
See? So you, how can you not want to be a corrector? You want to correct your wife. You want to correct,
yeah.
you want to correct your friend. Every relationship you want to straighten out.
Yeah.
You don't want no room for long suffering. Long suffering is nothing. You fix it. You are a fixer.
No compassion, nothing.
Right?
Amen.
You want to fix now.
Amen.
See, all of that is taken care of in Christ. Because all you're doing is watching what he did for you and your condition that you were.
Amen.
Hmm?
Hallelujah.
He sowed and now he's expecting a high. So grace in you, he wants a harvest of grace. Mercy, he wants a harvest. Love, you're unlovable, he wants a harvest from you.
Amen.
If those things are not there, why would I take seven seals, seven thunders and give it to people who don't have character to even live with sinners?
That's good.
What you going to do with it?
Yes. That's good.
You want to pour fire and brimstone on each other in the message church.
Yes.
Yes, man.
You see how powerful the law is of John 13:20? Let's read two of those and I'll show you one deeper one, right? One deeper one. And then we are ready to go. Do it just the appetizer, right?
Amen.
You alright, Brother Henry? I wasn't feeling too well. I have some trouble coming on there with my health. Though Brother Henry, questions and answers because it'll be a little bit too hard on me. But you know what? I feel like a young man.
Glory.
Amen. Alright, let's read it. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth, whomsoever I send, receive me. Did he send seven stars on his right hand?
Amen.
Well, if he send them, to receive them is to receive
Amen.
Him.
Amen.
And to receive me, and he that receiveth me, receiveth him that? That's how you know that you have accepted God.
Amen.
And God has accepted
Amen.
You. God don't accept you because of your holiness. God accept you because you accept Christ.
Amen.
And he said, how do I know accept Christ? When you accept the one he sent and the age that he sends, you are accepting Christ. And that's the way you serve God. That's the way you serve God.
Amen.
Outside of that, you are doing God a service outside of his will.
Amen.
Alright? You want some secrets? So what? Let me give you a couple of secrets, how powerful this is. Without this, you don't even know your church age book. Without this, church age book is a historical book to you. Watch carefully. I'm going to take Luther here. You agree? as a star. Who's Luther? He's representing Jesus.
Right.
Who's Jesus representing? God. Right? This is a man. The head of a man is Christ. The head of Christ is God. You know that scripture?
Yes.
Oh, we're right in line. We're right in line. Now, if you have oneness at your finger, since Jesus and God is the same, you had to eliminate that.
Right.
Put that down here. Now, Jesus only pretending he has a head.
True.
He only pretending to obey himself.
True.
He only pretending he sent himself.
True.
And all the time, the message, in the people in the message share, the preachers, convincing them more and more of the error until you don't even question it. When you read your Bible, you say, and God sent his son. Oh, I'll just leave that alone. My pastor already know that one. They get you to explain away your Bible and you will know it.
Amen, amen.
Yeah? You can't preach this message without Bible because you can make the prophet say anything you want.
Amen, amen.
You better get back to your Bible and read your Bible.
Amen.
Is this what he says? Let me give you the opposite to that. Luke 10:16. Okay, I'm giving this 10 minutes, I'm closing it up, right? Get to the next verse. He that heareth you, heareth me. Now, if you don't hear, he that heareth whom I sent, heareth me. See? He that heareth you, heareth me. Telling the disciples now. And he that despiseth you, what? See, I don't despise God. I love God. I just hate William Branham. No, you hate William Branham. Because he came to represent God's word, God's character, God's mind. See? No, you hate him. See? He that despiseth me, despiseth me. And he that despiseth me, despiseth him that... See why Brother Branham said they're worshiping the devil and don't know it? Because when you are following and worshiping a wrong representative of God, you're worshiping the devil and don't know it. It has to be someone God sent. Right? That is why... You say, Brother Tony, but in the message, don't forget about the message. Because in the message is where the deception is.
Amen.
The two spirits are be so close. That's not Pentecost.
Right.
That's a message.
Amen. Amen.
Everybody okay?
Amen.
So, I'm going to, let's give you a couple secret things here. So now Jesus is the tree of life symbol, right? God is the source of life, but you put the tree to represent him as life. So that's why you do that, because there's no source of life, right? Now the reason Jesus called God Father, because Father means the source of life. And the source of life is invisible, so he brought the Son to represent the source of life as a tree. But the tree didn't plant itself, because the tree has a husbandman.
Amen.
See, I am the branch.
Yes.
I'm the vine, you're the branches. My Father is the what? Husbandman. He's the gardener. He planted the seed. The Son of Man sows the good seed.
Amen.
Right? Okay. So now we know that. So here's what happens. If he is the tree of life, and this man, Luther, is representing him, in the age they were living in, the tree of life was Luther.
That's right.
Amen. Is
that right?
That's right.
And the doctrine of justification was the fruit.
True.
And that fruit is what you have to eat to have eternal life.
Amen.
Because when they sinned in the garden, God said, and now let the man reach for his hand and eat of the tree and live forever.
Amen.
Now the tree come back. Seven branches to the tree.
Amen.
Seven fruits for you to eat and partake of eternal life.
Amen.
Amen.
Hmm?
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
So now Luther becomes the tree of life.
All right.
And unless you partake of Luther's doctrine, which is called the doctrine of Christ.
Amen.
And since Christ represents life, this is the doctrine of life. This is the doctrine of giving you the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Without that, there is no quickening.
Amen.
Is that right? Now, are you ready? Let's go to 2 John 1 and 8. Everybody okay?
Yeah.
Whosoever transgresseth, that means to go around, to not touch, to leave out.
Right.
You see, whoever transgresseth, I don't have the software to show you that word, but it does not mean what you think. It means that you think it means to do wrong. No, that word transgress there in that Greek word, it means not to touch, to avoid, to deviate, to go around. You see, he that whosoever transgresses and continue not in the doctrine of Christ have not God. If you don't follow Luther's doctrine of justification, you don't have God.
Amen.
Because Luther is the tree of life.
Amen.
Have not God. And he that abided in the doctrine of Christ had both father and son. I can't hear you.
Amen.
And if a man comes now, if there cometh any of you that bringeth not this doctrine of Christ, in Luther day, if a man come and not preaching justification by faith,
right,
he not bringing no life, don't invite him in your church.
Amen, amen.
See? See, receive him not in your house. Neither bid him Godspeed, for he that abide, for he that bid him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deed.
Amen.
What is he preaching? If he's not preaching life, what is he preaching? So in Luther day, the doctrine of Christ was justification and give you the baptism of the Holy Ghost. In Wesley day, the doctrine of Christ was sanctification. That gave you the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That was the fruit that gave you to the life. In Pentecost, it was the restoration of the gifts and the blessings of the Lord. Right? And in the bride age, what is the doctrine of Christ? Who do you say this is? Who is this Melchizedek? The mighty God unveiled. Unrecognized presence of God. Can I hear you? Christ the mystery of God revealed. The Godhead. The doctrine of the Godhead.
Amen.
As the only man in the age who did not know, who knew the difference between Trinity and oneness. And in the very message of the hour, majority of children are in the message of oneness. They don't know. There is no eternal life for them. That's why the prophet said in the very message of the hour, after they were called out by a prophet, only one in a million made it from the message. And your pastor and your elder here, they believe this.
Amen.
So how graced are you?
Glory. Glory.
You call yourself insignificant. You have people, messages, you have so many people, and they all, you know, this one, they know this one, and know that. That is where the people get confused and know, are they only 8 people all you have?
Amen.
Look how many people out there, but only 8 were saved.
Amen.
And as it was in the days of what? Noah. And who preached 1 in a million? And that was not counting the Jebusite, the Hittite. That was only counting the ones who was under Moses, didn't make it. So anybody who is not in the message preaching the truth of Godhead, the doctrine of Christ, like in Luther day justification, they were doing God a service outside their will.
Wow.
Even though they're saying they're following the prophet. The doctrine of Christ. To eat and live forever. Now watch carefully now. But Christ is not only the tree of life, he is also represented as the mercy seat.
Amen.
And the mercy seat is where the cherubims are.
Right. Amen.
They were the gods, right?
Amen.
That's the mercy seat.
Amen.
It was a secret place. Nobody can go in there.
Amen.
It had blood.
Amen.
So the mercy seat, the prophet said, Jesus is God's mercy. So Luther was the mercy seat for that age.
Amen.
When you came to Luther, you were coming to mercy.
That's right.
And the blood
represents life, and life comes through the message.
Amen.
The blood that was sprinkled was representing names on the throne.
Amen.
Seven sprinkles of blood means seven churches with seven representation of believers.
Amen.
So when Luther come, he come with blood representing names.
Amen.
And the message he was preaching was calling the name. If you can respond to the doctrine of Christ for Luther,
amen,
which was justification, that means your name was being called.
Hallelujah.
And today, if you're in the message and you hear that God and Christ are not born like your finger,
amen,
that Jesus had a God and a Father, and yet Jesus represents God, you can't separate them because God is invisible. He needs some tangible representation.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Then God called your name.
That's right. That's right.
You found God's secret place.
Amen.
You found God's hiding place.
Amen.
Where's God's hiding place today? Christ is God's hiding place, but Christ is represented by Luther. So Luther became the hiding place. Jesus is God's mercy seat. When you find Luther, you found God's mercy seat. He the tree of life. When you found the tree of life, you found the fruit, which was the doctrine of justification. You eat that fruit and now you live forever. You're right back in the garden.
Glory. Amen.
Just by understanding one law,
amen,
the law of representation. Right? So that's church age. I want to give you one more under the seventh seal. So for the oneness in the message, those of you who have visited oneness message churches, you'll hear them say, I don't know what your pastor preaching. You know, the prophet say, there was their God dying at Calvary. Huh? There's their God dying at Calvary. They turn to Brother Aaron. You see what your prophet said? They will do with that boy. See, they are intellectual. This is how message church started in Trinidad. If you don't know where you come from, your future is unsure. You gotta know where you come from. Brother Henry, you don't mind. My job is to create the trouble and leave it for you. Because I don't get paid for that. I don't get paid for fixing the problem. I get paid for causing the problem. This is how it works in the early days. So the early Americans came down, right? And Perry Green, Jerry Rowe, the other brother Green. That's where the Fern brothers got quick, and I won't call their names. Pastors that I know here. And anyway, the message started, and then Brother Oja became one of the main connections to the U.S. and books and so forth, and that's it. Then the message began to, they began to get the books, and they began to get the reels, and some of them began to listen. Some of them begin to share in their denominational churches, like Bible, Open Bible, different places. Look at the water baptism, boy. Look at the fruit she ate. They need a fruit. Get away from here. Right? So now he takes one or two people after showing them and start at their house now because they get put out. Or they just believe the prophecy denomination is not of God, right? So that's how, I'm just giving you an example. So they get to their house now and they all sit down, about maybe five, six of them. And they're listening, the books, they explain, and reading and enjoying it among themselves, and they're playing a reel whenever they get a reel, and fellowship and good old time. Then all of a sudden they look around. Well, Aaron, hey boy, you went to college, boy. You be pastor. Now all of a sudden you are a pastor. Right? That's not Bible way, but that's that their way. Right? That's what your church is starting to show. So this guy here now. And you say, well, but why the message went so bad, so abusive, so antagonizing to the sisters? Because I had a problem. And I first come to the message, I was so glad I was not a sister. Licks, every service licks. That's how it worked. So you have a fella now, he not even finished fifth standard. He either, you know, selling eggs or he helped them with something here, we're doing something there, whatever it might be. He never had no power. He never was a over people, not a manager, never had training. So all of a sudden, he have this power and he people under him. He don't know what to do. All of a sudden now, he have this position, pastor. Right? And I'm not talking about Italian pastor. You know? And that's where the abuse comes from. They didn't handle power. They had the character to handle power or how to know people's nature, how to work with different people with different nature.
Wow.
You know, Prophet said he was a melancholy. You don't go to a melancholy and talk him a certain way, you break his spirit. Right? You have a choleric, he's more like a control freak, a manager, confrontatious. You can't go up there like a mouse to him, he wouldn't respect that. Right? You'll shout at you and send you back. You gotta know how to deal. That's why he said, my shepherd, they will know their sheep. Sheep will know their shepherd. Right? And so they didn't know all of these things. They didn't know the prophet talked about temperament and makeup and all of these things. So if you have a cookie cutter, I could shout at you, what are you doing, man? I could talk to you the same way. What are you doing, everybody? What are you doing, man? All of a sudden they became so big now with numbers, finances coming in. You know, they've been supportive. All of a sudden now they come, you know, powerful. Pastor, I like to talk to me. Go talk to my deacons and make an appointment. That's how they operated in Trinidad.
Yes,
like if they were gods.
Yes,
in some ways, you know, in the Bible they say you were gods, but not that way. That's how message developed in Trinidad. That's how the churches developed. That's how the ones who are old now with big names and so forth. That's how they are. But where they are with their people, they know nothing.
Amen.
This little simple thing, they wouldn't even know that.
Amen.
They go to 100 other churches and they'll never tell you.
Amen.
They wouldn't even know any how to approach this. Because they're content. As long as they can read the code back to you, you should be happy. So you're paying them your tithing for them to second read what you read or to hear back what you already heard on the tape. I think that's a real good business.
Amen.
I don't think that's a real good business.
Amen.
I have a real good business. Yeah. So this becomes a secret place, the hiding place. This is God. If you want to be to worship, if you are not worshiping under the blood, under the mercy seat, then you are not worshiping God. Because to worship God must be in spirit and truth. The spirit of the age in Luther Day was the spirit of the man.
Right.
And the word for that day was justification, the truth. If you are not believing justification by and all your songs would have been written around justification.
Right.
You see? Because that is your worship, that is where your revelation coming from. I'm justified by faith in what Christ did, not by my works. It's not by the Catholic Church, it's not by 10 novenas, it's not by saying 50 Hail Marys, it's not by confessing to a man in a box, it's by faith, what he did.
Amen.
That is how it came about. One more, I told you I was going to do from the 7th seat. So I said, Abraham, what are you believing for? Hear the prophet say, there's their God dying at Calvary. Right? And you are saying he's not God. And the prophet says, there's your God dying at Calvary. Then Aaron now, with a good heart, said, but brother, look, the prophet saying Jesus was not God, he was the body of God. You know, that was God dwelling in that, but God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. You know? So now you seem like two different quotes because doctrine is bringing quotes and statements together, not dividing them.
Amen.
Not throwing out one and keeping one. So there must be something that they are reading intellectually and not understanding that God operates by laws. If you want electricity, there's only electricity in the world. But if you don't know how to harness the electricity through the wires, you'll never get this. You can have all the water in the world and have no indoor plumbing. Because you need the laws of irrigation and pneumatics, the pressures and so forth to be able to bring water into. You have everything here. This world was just dirt and stone and different minerals. But they took the laws of chemistry, put them together, and you get mortar.
Amen.
Amen.
They used the law of geometry and didn't know how to make a square or a triangle to make blocks.
Amen.
And everything you see here is operated by a law.
Amen.
God does nothing without a law.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Now they read another quote where the prophet said, God can't die. If God could die, he may have an end.
Right.
He never had a beginning. How can he have an end? So how can God die?
Come on.
Right? So I'm going to ask you a question. You'll answer. When Christ died, did you die, brother?
No.
No. When Christ died, did you die, sister? When Christ died, did you die, brother? Well, if you didn't die, then you're still in your sins.
Right.
Because the Bible said when Christ
Amen.
Died, you died.
Amen.
When he was buried, you buried.
Amen.
When he rose, you rose.
Hallelujah.
So it meant that Christ represented you.
Correct.
And when Christ died, you died. Amen. Right? And when Christ suffered, he was suffering for your sins. Now, if you suffer for your sin and God make you suffer your sin again, something wrong with that. Sure. If Christ went to hell for you, and you still think you're going to hell, something wrong with that. Somebody's lying and God says, no, he went to hell for you, and you're saying, no, I'm not good enough.
Hallelujah.
Then you're unbelief.
Amen. Finish. Glory.
I can hear you. Yes. So when Christ died, the Bible said you died. You died in Christ. That's how God sees it. God sees you dead.
Amen.
And God sees you resurrected.
Amen.
God sees you paid for your sin.
Amen.
Therefore God says, I drop all the charges.
Yes.
How can a man, amen, pay all his debt and still owe?
True.
I can't hear you. And you singing this song all the time. I owed a debt I couldn't pay.
Yes.
Right? And he paid the debt, right? And all of a sudden you're walking on your feeling a monkey on your back.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Somebody don't believe the song they're singing.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Are you ready?
Yes.
So you died, but yet they didn't die. Somebody lying. Right? Because you just told me, when Christ died, you didn't die. You could prove you didn't die because you're still here. And God says, when Christ died, you die. Somebody, it seems contrary quotes, but they're not. If you use the right law.
Amen.
If you use the law of representation in me, if Christ represents you, and he died, you died. And me, when Adam sinned, you sinned. But when Christ died, you died. Are you ready?
Glory.
I'll give you a little secret
Glory.
Now. Christ didn't only come to represent you, he come to represent God.
Right.
That's why every time he hears somebody, he said, not me. It's him. I could do nothing.
Right.
The message preacher said, no, you lying. You could do everything. You only played a role. I could do nothing. He said, no, you could do everything. But Christ also represents God. So when Christ died, God died. Yet God cannot die. When Christ died, you died. Yet you didn't die. And that is how they get mixed up.
Yes.
That's how they try to figure it out and end up with a oneness like your finger.
Mm.
And how they are got to die.
Yeah.
So if he can die, he can't be Melchizedek.
Amen.
Because he had no beginning of days, no end of life.
Good.
Melchizedek have no mother and father, yet Jesus and mother and father. They can't put, you see,
they can't put
no way to put it together because they're intellectually, they became pastors by people appointment.
Amen.
Number of people get
Amen.
Together, they say, okay, you are college, you do it. You're not working, you have time, you do it. Oh, he's a nice man, you have a quiet spirit. You look like a pastor, you be pastor. That is how they did it in Trinidad.
That's good.
Nobody will tell you that.
That's good, brother.
It's like doctors. Doctors don't run down doctors. You can't get one to testify against the other. And don't even think of getting a lawyer to testify against a lawyer. Right? That message, Sanhedrin, they have their own fight among themselves, but they're not going to. You think one of them is going to say that pastor is born again? Amen. Amen. So now, they open up a door now. Your people now think about you. Say, but what about Brother Henry? If he wasn't, he couldn't handle these doctrines. He couldn't believe, he couldn't teach you. And he wouldn't be faithful and humble and loyal enough to come back and tell you, look, they might not be looking at it right. This is the right way for you.
Right. Amen.
You understand what I'm saying?
Amen. Amen.
Amen. So you've got to thank God for grace.
Amen.
Otherwise, you'll die of oneness and idolatry. Everybody okay? Is the law of representation important?
Yes.
Read your church age book now. And when you see your pastor, you get more out of him if you know he represents Christ. And that's not him. You can have all the faults in the world.
Right.
That's under the blood. But the gift of who you represent, you'll get everything out of him.
Hallelujah.
Everything that you need, you'll get out of him.
Amen.
Because when he lays hands, it's not his hand doing anything. A hand represents Christ.
Right.
If you believe that, you'll get what you need.
Amen.
That's how powerful the law is.
Amen.
Because you can't, you're looking for God to come and talk with you. Isn't that what you're looking for? That only happens to prophets.
Amen.
And only in a generation.
Amen.
Alright. Question now about short words and short. Let's read the rest of the scripture out and I'll get to it. You got it? Let's put it up there. Can I take this off or somebody needs to take a camera shot or what? I need to.
Anybody want to take it? I'll erase it.
Yeah, as soon as I shoot it.
Good?
Yeah. All right. So we did the 14th verse, right? Everybody know what it means to sleep in Jesus? Right? Them that sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Right? Notice it's God in charge of resurrection. When Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, that was representing God's way, God's truth, God's life. Because God is the one sending. See? And second thing, Jesus is not the resurrection himself. Because when he died, God had to raise him from the dead. If he was the resurrection, he raised himself. But the Bible said God raised Christ from the dead and set him on his own right hand. So he either made his scripture right or he made it wrong. The problem was, in the Bible, Brother Branham said, you only read in the red letters.
Right.
So you see, these are the letters of Christ, right? The prophet says, what they did not know was that sometimes God was speaking and sometimes Christ was speaking. So they did not know who was talking. And in one sentence, two of them can speak.
Amen.
But like for John 14 and 9, when he said, Philip said, show us the Father. Right? But the first part of the sentence, God answered. He said, Philip, I've been so long with you and you don't know me. Then the next part was the Son speaking. He said, when you see me, you've seen the Father. So they didn't know how to do that. When Jesus stood up and he said, wind, be still. He said that was not a man speaking. He said that was God speaking.
Amen.
Now when he came to the woman of the well, this is the best one. Brother Bram said, came to the woman of the well and he said to the woman, he said, I am he that speaketh to you. She said, the Messiah coming, will speak it to you. He said, I am he. Brother Bram said, that was God speaking because the Messiah means somebody anointed with God. He can't do a thing. He don't know a thing. He can't show himself a vision. So the Messiah was God, but the man that he was going to use was being like Moses. Moses could do nothing. You see? So when we say Messiah, we only think about the man. We're not thinking what makes him Messiah was the anointing on him. It was God on him. Right? And that is what you're looking for. And if you don't know that, you wouldn't know Messiah came today. Because what Jesus was doing to show you was Messiah was telling you the secret of the heart. And when Brother Branham come, you will see a man. Or you will see the man Jesus reproduce. And you say, oh, you see, he must be Jesus. And that makes your oneness believe Jesus. No, it was the same one anointing him, the Pilapa, that come on William Branham. So the Pilapa is the Messiah. See, so they don't know what Messiah means. They don't know what Christ means. They're thinking it is a man. Messiah is God. That is who it is. Messiah is Lord. And the identification of Messiah is that he knows the secrets of the heart.
Amen.
Okay. So we finish with the 14 verse. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain, you see, the we there now becomes the end time bride. See, the we. This is the poured out bride. So let me explain what I mean by the poured out bride here. Yeah. But I want to show it doctrinally, positionally, where we are. So now, you must have seen me done that before. Church age is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. This is the early church.
Right.
Starting on the day of Pentecost to the day just before it fell. And then when it fell, it became the Ephesian church age. Right? There's a difference between the Ephesian church and the Ephesian church age. The age fell. The Ephesian church itself was the original church, the most mature church.
Amen.
It matured from the day of Pentecost, and the most mature church became the Ephesians. God, in the form of a prophet, pillar of fire, and this is Jesus, makes him Son of Man. And the Son of Man is represented by the Son. This is John the Baptist. He's represented by a star.
Right.
He went down, and the full sun was up. Right? So the last star disappears, but then it's only sun. Right? So then, Jesus died, so the sun went down.
Right.
When the sun goes down, what comes out? The moon. And the moon becomes the church in its light. So there's no darkness in this moon from the day of Pentecost until before the Ephesians fell. That's the sun went down, the moon comes up. But then when error begins to enter into the church, the moon starts going into phases.
Right.
And the church no longer could lead the people.
Right.
So God started let stars come out. So the stars went all the way up to the seventh star, starlight, to lead the church. Because the church in itself could not lead because there are error in it.
Right.
That's actually how the prophet received the seven church ages at the end of the age. This was placed on a flat line, drawn out with just the moon faces, and the Holy Spirit drew it in the back of the church. Right? To confirm that what he was doing was the truth. Right? So I want to bring you here on this we. Because if you're not sure, you'll make the we you together with every message church in Trinidad. And he said, we are all one. We are we. But was Caleb and Joshua we, even though they were in Israel? Or did the Bible say they had a different spirit? And did God kill off everybody except Joshua, Caleb, and a new generation? And he killed everybody off from under a prophet, a pillar of fire, Moses, kill all of them? Wait for all of them to die? So was Caleb and Joshua part of the we? Of all of Israel? You mean in the call down under a prophet there was a we different from the rest of them?
That's good, brother. Amen.
What? Amen. Because everybody who come and with a message book and this quoting Brother Branham, you do not accept as part of the they are we. Right? If they don't bring the doctrine of Christ or they don't know it, they're not converted.
Amen.
Even though they're preaching and they can be in the message 40 years.
Sure.
He said, prove it to me. Look at the Baptist preacher, Methodist, Assembly Adventist. and Pentecostal preachers. They've been pastoring for 40 years, 54, all wrong. And the people never figured out they're wrong.
Right.
You think the only the bride cannot be deceived, and that's only one in a million. So the majority of people who think they are bride are not bride, because they can't even see through their pastor. Everybody okay with this? Right. So now this is the point. You have one first age lost truth. That's the fourth stage of the Roman ball. Second age lost truth. Third age lost truth. Fourth age lost truth.
Right.
Caterpillar, canker worm, palmer worm,
locust,
right? I never could get them in order, but I just know them.
Right.
All right. Now, then he said, I will restore.
Amen.
Ready? So the restore starts with Luther, restore, or reform actually.
Reform.
Yeah. Wesley, reform.
Mm-hmm.
Pentecost, reform. Well, that's the seventh angel here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you have 1, 2, 3, reform, but you have 1, 2, 3, four loss, and you want to come back to the apostolic faith, which is moon,
mm-hmm.
it's here.
Wow. Seven.
So what has to happen here is that this angel here, Revelation 3:14, when they will not repent, he has to call them out. And to call them out, you need the opening of the first six seals. When the first six seals are open, you can come out. And if you come out, you come back to what the early church was. That's called Malachi 4 restores you back to the apostolic faith of the early church. Now watch carefully. Are you ready? If you are back here in Paul's day, did you have adoption?
No.
Did you have manifested sons?
No.
Are you sure? No adoption, no manifested sons here? Did you have seven seal here?
No.
Seven thunders?
No.
You are shout here? No? Well, that's why the first six seals calls you out, because the seventh seal is going to give you what the early church did not have.
Right.
So now, when you don't know that the first six seals calling you out is not the message.
Amen.
The message is the seventh seal is shout.
It's the message.
Then the majority of people in the message or message church, they believe the we is from here to here.
Right.
The we is only here.
Amen.
The bride is caught up in the mystery of the seventh seal, Feast of the Trumpets, page 39.
Amen.
Up here. If you're here, you're just down here.
Right.
Restored back. So who is the we? Today, I'm talking to class, Iran. I know for sure, Brother Henry for sure, but I don't know the rest, so I can't say who the we, because you've been taught, and you're visiting message churches, so you get a piece of every kind of unbelief you can think of, but you don't know it's unbelief, because it's sung like a quote. Sung in good, you don't know. So therefore, everybody in a message church is a we. Yet you will say one says one in a million. You're the same one who says the two spirits will be so close.
Amen.
Well, the only thing that's so close to you is somebody who believes just like you from the same book.
Amen.
That's why, Brother Henry, your gospel is a different gospel. That's why you are a one in a million, so you have to be an oddball. That's why they have to be ashamed of you. If you say you are the word, you have to be an oddball. They probably reach oddballs. They're not oddballs. They all agree with each other.
Right.
You want to be the oddball. You have to be one in a million.
Yeah.
They're the one they have to be ashamed of you. If you are the word, representing your word, they have to be ashamed of you. But nobody's ashamed of them. Everybody think they are the celebrity.
Yes, yes, yes.
And you are yourself believing that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's good. Glory.
Not knowing and that kind of thinking. It's the same thinking they had in the days of Noah. Look at these eight people here. Look what they say. Huh? They are ashamed of Noah.
Right.
He's an oddball.
Right.
Right? He's one in a million.
Right.
Right? Why? Because anytime you find a majority believe in the same doctrine, run for your life.
Sure.
Run for your... Because only elect, only bride can see these things. Only bride can know the difference between God and Christ.
Amen.
Prove it to you. So, Brother Tony, are we part of the we? That's what you're asking. Are we part of the we? Well, let's give you the word test, right? We'll give you the word test. Okay. So now, so do you understand why I did this? Because the bride is not here. If you are here, your heart is restored back to the apostolic fathers. But apostolic fathers didn't have adoption, didn't have manifested sons of God, didn't have seven thunders, didn't have no shout.
Right.
So we are not going back to apostolic fathers. You go there to restore back what you lost. But you're going back to the seventh seal, which takes you back to Jesus' days, which represent the second Adam. And
Amen.
That was the garden.
Amen.
Adam, Eve, and Eden.
Amen.
And there, he was a manifested son. He was a small God. He could speak the word. They were not speaking the word here in the early church.
That's good.
So you have to make up your mind. If you are the we like them, you go back to apostolic fathers.
Right.
But if you are the we like the bride, end time bride, she goes back to Adam, Eve, and Eden.
Amen.
She don't stop here. She's here. So if she's here, she's up here in the headstone.
Amen. Amen.
So who are you now? Which we are you? But you can go for donkey years in a message. You don't mind me saying I'm Trinidadian too, some way.
Amen.
Yeah. You go donkey years, say bride, bride, and you're aiming a bunch of error and putting yourself out of the bride and making yourself out of the body. Because we are not here. We are here. If you are here, it's because you're right back down here. And you're not going anywhere. Because they was waiting on this.
Right.
So today you ask the majority of pastors what is seven seal or seven vials and trumpet. They won't be able to tell you a thing except some high level quotes. Mm-hmm. Seven seal, brother, that's the rapture faith. That's your tongue.
Right.
That. After you get that, you go home empty just like a game. Because God don't give up these things for to one in a million.
Amen.
So, if you did not know the law of representation, and you read your church book all these years, could you have been in misunderstanding it?
Sure.
But misunderstanding, misplacing, dislocating is called sin. Amen. You were in sin innocently and didn't know it.
Yes,
until this morning.
Amen.
That's right.
That's how you have to humble yourself. If you think you know something, that's when you do it.
Yes. Amen.
But if God, if you are loved of God, elect of God, He will let you stay in that condition.
Hallelujah.
So I think you have a good foundation. Your trust is not in yourself, it's in what Christ did, right?
Amen.
Alright. I have one scripture to put up there before I get to that. I forgot to read it. I need to read it for the young people, the young one. That's the one I want, the young ones. Mm. See, the old one will like me too much because I'm exposing too much of their forefathers' sin. Mm. But the young ones, they say, oh, lay it on them, brother. Yeah. Okay. 2 Corinthians 5:21. My favorite. This is my favorite scripture. I love this scripture. I love it because it talks about me. Now, are you ready? 2 Corinthians 5:21. Are we ready? For he had made him to be sin for us. For what? God made him, Christ, to be sin, my sin, for us, who knew no sin. Say it again. Christ, who knew no sin, became sin. Who sinned? Now, if my sin, he became my sin, even though I have every problem here, God took care of it in Christ. I'm going to say this, so you might help you. God took care of what you did, what you're doing, and what you might do. I can't hear you. If he buy you, he didn't buy you when you were good. Believe it, he will continue to buy you when you get better. And then he'll completely purchase you when you're the best. I can't hear you. When he bought you, he paid for what you did, what you're doing, and what you will and might do.
Amen.
I can't. He said, I'll give you a liberty to do what you want. Go and do what you want. Brother Bam said, I always do what I want. Because if you do or don't do, it matters not. If you're elect of God, you can't help. He's going to bring you one way or the other.
Amen.
It might be on your deathbed, but he'll bring you.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Is that you? Salvation is not of you.
Right.
It's not you wanting to come. You can want to come. I have no power with God.
Amen.
All the Father has given me will come to me, and I will lose none.
Amen.
Salvation is not a hope that you will want to come.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Everybody okay? For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin. So he who knew no sin became my sin. And I who knew sin become his righteousness. So I want to ask you a question. Can you be righteous with all the faults you have? See? That's the trouble. Can you be righteous with all the imperfections you have?
Yes.
That's a weak yes. I mean, I could get a Baptist and they'll probably shout louder than that.
Brother.
I became the very righteousness of God without doing one good thing.
Amen.
He became sin without sinning. I become righteous without doing one good thing. So if I am righteous without doing one good thing, just my faith
Amen.
Is my righteousness.
Amen.
You say, you're righteous? Man, get out of here. See, you're telling God's word to get out of here. Because he said, but righteous is a faith.
Amen.
Not by law.
Right.
That Israel problem. They want righteousness by law, by works. You say, righteous by faith. You don't believe that? By faith. Abel by faith. Was more righteous than Cain.
Amen.
By faith, he was more righteous. Like, the faith he had is what made him righteous.
Amen.
Abraham, by faith, believing what God said, was righteous.
Amen. Amen.
Not by doing. If you're looking to be righteous by doing, you will never get there. I am righteous now. Why? Because I have faith in what he did. He became me, and I became the very righteousness of
God. Amen.
Amen. Talk about money in the bank. If money, if righteousness is by faith, then I'm rich without having anything.
Rich.
I don't have to have anything to say I'm rich, because whatever he is, I am.
I am. Hallelujah.
And if he, oh God, always hear his prayer, then I have to say God will always hear my prayer.
Amen. It's certain. Glory.
Because I became him, and he became me.
Amen.
Oh, the power of faith. The power of knowing what he did.
Amen.
See, then when you compound that with a good foundation that you have there,
true.
And you compound that with looking at the sinners and everybody and saying, that was me. Anytime you see somebody doing wrong or doing you wrong, why should I expect him to do me right? That's his nature.
Amen.
Why am I upset with him? That's his nature.
Amen.
He's supposed to steal from me. He's supposed to outsmart me. He's supposed to do this. He's supposed to do it. If he don't do it, God's word is a lie.
Right.
He's born in sin, shame, and he come to speak a lie. Why you?
Amen.
I should expect anything else.
Right.
The reason you expect it is because you were not saved right. Maybe you're saved right, you know God will expect no good thing from you. So then why should you expect any good thing from him? You know God saved you because you couldn't save yourself.
Amen.
Then unless God saved him, amen, you don't know the grace of God.
Amen.
Talk about overcoming life. You're talking about living victoriously. You talk about putting other people's problems and not trying to change them. Boy, you know, you shouldn't talk like that now. You shouldn't do this, you shouldn't. If you stop doing it, what credit is that to him? You will go to heaven? You only want to change him for your comfort. You want him to stop doing things so you feel comfortable. Right? Can he do or don't do what are the things?
That's good, brother. That's good. Glory to God. Grace.
All right. So we got the we, right? Okay.
It's so rich, bro.
Now, oh, I was going to give you the word test. Are we the we? Are we the we? Okay, let's look at the we. Yeah. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them that are asleep. So there is the them. And when we talk about the them, we are talking about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Seven ages of people sleeping. Each one of them having a star at the head of their. Right? Each one of them, all the way up to them. See? They have a star. They are sleeping in a dimension. So it's telling us, look, hey, something here. You see them that are asleep? Right. We will not hinder them. Why? Because they have a separate message to deal with them. Our message don't deal with them.
Right. Amen.
See? Amen. We won't hinder them because they're not waiting on our message. They're going to have a message of their own called the voice of the archangel.
Amen. Right.
And the we, see, we say unto you by the word that we which are alive and remain, we have a message of our own, and that message called a shout. That's a living. See, my message is not for them. Now, I'm telling you that for one reason. Because in Trinidad, there used to be a doctrine, still is, because they don't know it any better. Their doctrine is, while we preach to you the shout, and you are getting perfected, that shout is going to recycle into the voice in you. So all of a sudden, the shout in you will become the voice, and I'll come a point where you will call the sleeping saints. Because now, the voice is in you. So you ever hear that? The shout is going to recycle into the voice in you. That was a doctrine when I was growing up. Yeah, the shout. So the shout will recycle and become the voice, and the living saints will call the sleeping saints.
Wow.
Now, the second doctrine was that while we are preaching, the fivefold is preaching, they're looking over the banister of time being perfected by what we preach. Second one, that come from North Carolina, but it was here in Trinidad too. Right? So, this shout and this voice know that it is not interconnected with each other.
Right.
That's why it will not hinder. We will not hinder them.
Right.
See? They have their own message.
Amen.
We will have our own message.
Right.
The shout is to the living. The voice is to the dead. How can our shout hinder them? They can't perfect them. They could be looking over a million times and have nothing to do with us. We cannot affect them, and they cannot affect us. So I separated that, right? And I'll deal with this. What did we close? What 12? Maybe 12, 15, maybe somewhere around there. So the word test. Are we ready? Everybody okay? For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Right? Again? Get that? Now the Holy Spirit is very specific. The Lord himself. Who else could be the Lord? The Lord himself. What does it mean by that? You can say the Lord descend from heaven. Wouldn't that be right? The Lord descend from heaven. The Lord himself. Who else can descend? If it's the Lord, it's himself. Why would it say the Lord himself shall descend from heaven? Your job is to read and say, Lord, you read the Bible. Right? My job is to ask, why did the Holy Spirit put up in there? That's my job. Because the why means I have a question. I have to ask why it couldn't say something else. Go to Isaiah 7:14. The last time the Son of Man was in flesh, it was called a super sign. And the prophet is preaching the end time super sign. It was a super sign, God and man becoming one. Right? It was that. The Lord himself shall give you a sign. I want to know who gave the sign to Mary. The Lord himself shall give you a sign of virgin. Who gave that sign? Who's the one that gave that sign to Mary? That the seed was put in her. Who put the seed in her? Oh my goodness, Amen. Very good.
Amen.
The Lord himself, and that produced the Son of Man, didn't it? That produced the super sign. And today is another super sign. And that was God in the form of a man 2,000 years ago. And what is this day again? God in the form of a man?
Amen.
Right? Okay, so this is some unique sign. Let's go back. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven. Now you have to decide now. Right? Let's go to Psalms 101. But you were taught the right way. You have to pray for my errors. But if your pastor never asks you why the Lord himself descended from heaven, this is why he should ask you. Psalms 110, sorry.
110?
Yeah, Psalms 110. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit down on my right hand till I make thy enemies my footstool. Which one of those lords are descending? The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand. How many words lords are in there? We know there's one God. Which Lord is descending in 1 Thessalonians? See why? We need to know. Because without that, if a man attempting to look at the rapture scripture and doesn't know that, he don't know rapture. He don't know 7C, he don't know Godhead. Let's go to Acts 2:34. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made that same Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Oh, wait. God made Jesus. That, know that word, that Jesus? That Jesus, the Son of God, he made him Lord and Christ. This God is Jehovah.
Yes.
Elohim.
Amen. Amen.
So my question is, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. Which Lord is descending? The one who was made Lord, or the one who made him Lord? They'll never tell you that because they don't know. They'll never preach Psalms 110 because they don't know.
Right.
And they'll never take a rapture. I don't care how many people there is, one in a million.
One.
They don't know. I guarantee there's some here that will make it. Yes. Because I know Brother Henry knows this. He believes this. He teaches this. Aaron, different ones. Which one, brother? Alright, let's go to Revelation 10:1. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven. There's another one coming down? Now, if you believe your prophet, on page 74 of the seal book,
Prophet said that's Christ. Yeah, right? So I'm going to break this word Christ down. Christ, or Messiah, Messiah, Hebrew, Christ, Greek, has three meanings. One, the anointer, the anointed, or the anointing. The anointer is always God. The anointed is always a man or an angel. And the anointing is the power or abilities that goes with it.
Right.
So when he said, based on the mighty angel coming down, floated in a cloud, which Christ is it? Is it the Christ that was made Lord, the man? Is the man coming down and leaving the intercessory throne? Will his feet touch the ground here? Who is the Christ of page 74? Of Revelation 10:1, I saw a mighty angel clothed in a cloud, and the prophet said that was Christ descending. Who is this Christ? And who is the covenant angel? It is God veiled in the form of a prophet.
Hallelujah. Veiled in Christ. Amen. Amen.
So 1 Thessalonians cannot be understood without you understanding Godhead, that God made Christ Lord and Christ. He made him Lord for five reasons.
Come on.
One, Sarah called her husband Lord. Is he the husband to the church?
No.
Yeah, he is the husband to the church, to the mystical body, because he represents God as husband.
Sure.
In the word, when we say God is the husband, we know, Prophet Norman used the word is the husband. You
Amen.
See? But represented in Christ, because that's how we are many member body, he represents Christ as husband. So Christ is the husband of the church. You get that, the head of the church. That's Ephesians chapter 1 and the 22nd verse. He made him the head of the body. Okay, so if your husband is the head of the wife, is he Lord? See, like Sister Janice can call Brother Henry Lord Henry.
Right?
Sister Jim always teased me, Lord Anthony.
Yeah.
Right? So, Lord Aaron, sister. Lord Aaron. So, he's the Lord. So, he's made Lord for five reasons. First one reason, he's the husband to the church.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want that scripture, it's 1 Peter 3:6. You might look it up, brother. You might get it there.
Church.
And you can get as the head of the church too, but it's easier when it's said here. Sarah obeyed Abram, calling him what?
Lord.
As the church must obey Christ,
Amen.
As a wife must obey her husband in all things,
Amen.
She called him Lord. By saying Lord means that he is your head.
Amen.
Second reason he's made Lord. He's made Lord because he is the firstborn.
Amen. Amen.
Now, so the law of the firstborn, and let me see if I can get that. It's Genesis. Oh my goodness, I didn't think I was going to use it. When you don't use it, you lose it. Genesis 36. I'm looking for Jacob. You know the firstborn blessing where Esau is deceived and he made Lord. Was that Genesis 26? No, 26. Okay. Yes, but if somebody could search it for me. In the law of the firstborn, where if you're the firstborn, you're made Lord over your brothers. And you get double portion of the inheritance. Three. So
Somebody might need to look that up. It might be 37, where Jacob and Esau, where he stole the blessing from Esau. Jacob stole the blessing from Esau. And then it's also written in the law of the firstborn. If a woman has two sons, Deuteronomy something, yeah. She cannot make the firstborn better. I have it in my notes, but to search it will be, upside down. All right, okay. So yes, you can look that up yourself. I'll leave you all to do that. And the third one, he's made a king of the Jews. So he's made Lord because he's like Joseph. Was Joseph made Lord over Egypt?
Amen.
Was he made Lord over his brethren?
Yeah.
Okay. Then four. He's made Lord because he's an overcomer.
Amen. Amen.
The overcomer death, hell, and the grave.
Amen.
Therefore, I'm highly exalted him. I'm giving him a name. So that's Philippians. God has highly exalted him, like Pharaoh highly exalted Joseph, and given him a name above all names. Right? And at the name of Jesus or Joseph, every knee will bow. Every tongue. Right? Now, five. He's made Lord. Now, he's an overcomer, and he is a manifested son of God, redeemed by. Now, I want to ask you, was Adam made Lord in the garden? Was Adam Lord of the garden?
Yes.
All animals?
Yes.
Okay, watch carefully now.
Yes.
Animals in the Bible represents the symbols of nations. So the bear was Russia, the lion was Great Britain, the eagle was America, the goat was Greece. So was Adam placed over all nations?
Amen.
Hmm?
Amen.
So the reason he is made Lord was for five. But he's made Lord. If you're made Lord, it means one time you wasn't. But this one here, nobody made him Lord. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. See? So the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. Who is descending? God himself is descending. And who is descending? He's descending. Now if God is invisible and he wants to speak to man, how did he speak to Israel 4,000 years ago? This is Israel. He wants to speak to Israel. What did he do? He has to have a man. And if God is going to speak and the voice of God is thunder, who's going to hear the thunder? Prophet.
Amen.
Who's going to repeat what the thunder says? Prophet. So where is the shout? I'm going to close this up and I'll pick it up on Sunday, right? Because it's getting there. The shout came through the prophet. And the shout is a message, and the message gives what kind of faith? Doctrine and faith. So God descended, and he has to descend somewhere, and where he descends must be a man.
Amen.
Where he speaks must be through a prophet.
Right.
So the shout is a message coming through a prophet, but not before 63. There was no shout back here.
Right, right, right.
So then this message the prophet was preaching here, that was a call to repentance.
Amen.
And they wouldn't repent. The second thing he was doing, it was a message of preparation.
Right.
Preparing the people to attract the attention that God wants to speak.
Amen, amen, amen.
So it's called the age of preparation or the call to repentance. But the message, so now you know now. People have noticed distinction. You say, I follow the message. What message you follow, brother?
Right.
I follow the message.
Right.
There are things that a prophet taught on the starlight. I think your pastor will probably
taught
you. There is starlight, there is moonlight, and there is sunlight. Under starlight, the prophet, as a starlight messenger, could only see in part and preach in part.
Amen. Amen.
Then under moonlight, he could only preach what Paul preached in the early church.
Right.
But under sunlight, He can tell you what no light had shone upon before.
Amen.
Tell you things that no light had shone upon before.
Amen.
Glory, glory.
Right? So there are things that he spoke under starlight that is wickable.
Right.
He preached back here that the white horse rider was the Holy Ghost. You think you'll buy that today? He preached the souls on the altar was the early church. Would you buy that today? He preached the evidence of the Holy Ghost three different ways. Would you buy that today?
Right.
So you're correcting the prophet? I always say that because people are always ready to jump on something. So, especially when you hurt their feelings. When my doctrine hurt their feelings, they're looking for anything. I don't care what's this, a crumb to argue. Right? But I need Bhima Bar points, so I'll tell you the truth. Yeah. So, but the sunlight, when the word was opened, corrects the error. So the correcting of the opening of seed corrects even the prophet's error.
Wow. That's good.
Nobody corrects him. The word itself, after it opened, corrects his own error. He preached back here, body, soul, spirit, and he said the soul had five inlets back here.
Soul.
Is that not wiggle room today?
Right.
He said Luther had wiggle room, Wesley had some wiggle room, he had wiggle room back here. But that's not son of man having wiggle room. That's the starlight. The moonlight only taught you what was back here, but the sunlight take you back to Adam, Eve, and Eden and beyond.
Wow.
Alright? Okay, I said that for a reason, because I'm trying to close up to a place where I can, where you can get something that you don't know. Alright, so shout here now. So it's called Rapture and Faith. And so this message, the Son of Man, has three meanings. One, two, three. Is there another marker? Yeah, I'm killing this. He's probably repenting now that he never met me. three meanings. Son of Man has three meanings. If you don't know this, you'll mix up some of the quotes. Son of Man is a person,
right,
and it's not William Branham. It is God in the form of a prophet. Son of Man also means a ministry that has three poles. One, two, three. And three, Son of Man is a dispensation.
Wow. Amen.
Between Son of God and Son of David. Is that right? Between the lamb and the lion comes an eagle. And that's the dispensation. So it means three things. Alright. So now it's God in the form of a prophet. Three things, right? Three poles. The first two poles, first pole is to prove that the Lord himself that is with this prophet. The first pole is that he can heal all thy diseases. But if he can heal all thy diseases, then he is omnipotent.
Amen.
Is that right? And the diseases is corruption of the earth, your body. If you can stop the corruption of your body, you can stop the corruption of the earth and make a new heavens and a new earth.
Wow.
He knows all the secret of the heart, which means he's omniscient. You can pronounce it how you want. I like my own version. Right? Omniscient, you could say, but I like omniscient, right? So he's omniscient, right? He knows all things. And that's why he knows the secret of the heart. That is the show. If he knows the secret of the heart, will he not know the secret in the book?
Amen.
Right? And so that proves that who was here. And the third one, is the third pull, is that he is actually revealing his secrets in the book. Right? And the plan that he had in the book. And that's the opening of the word. Right? So now this part here, the third pull, has many controversy because it is not one thing. And I'm going to lay it out for you all so you can just go ahead and verify it. Right? The third pole is started in 1959. He didn't really know that. He just called it his new ministry, the speaking of creation.
Wow.
Speaking of creation, he spoke of spirits, right?
Yeah.
Second, it is the speaking to the eternal, to the lost. Right? To the lost. Those who reject the end time message. Right? That's one. That's two. Three. The third pole is the tenth vision.
And the 10th vision is actually connected with the descent of the Lord. It's connected with Revelation 10:1. It's connected with 1 Thessalonians 4, the Lord himself. So I'm going to just give it to you, and then you can go ahead and study. So now, in the rapture message, where 1 Thessalonians is being dealt with, he took the pre-rapture message, his text is Psalms 27.
Amen. Rapture.
Right? The Lord is my light and my salvation. You know, whom shall I fear? Lord, the enemy, rise up and, eat my flesh, and stumble and fall. Right? The one thing I have inquired of the Lord, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. Now, if you go and look up the word dwell and house, you have your own idea of that, right? But actually, I want to dwell in the kingdom of God. That's what you want to do. I want to dwell in the kingdom of God. That's the future hope.
Amen.
Because rapture takes you there.
Amen.
Right? And he said, and to inquire in his temple. Now, we know there will be a temple over there. There will be no temple because the Lamb will be the temple of the city, right? But notice he's preaching that in the rapture scripture. The temple. Now, the temple was also called, before it was put up by Solomon, was also a tent.
Amen.
So you're looking at three things. In Moses, did Moses build a tent? A tabernacle. So, when Moses, which is a type of our day, when God descended to Moses, Moses became God's tent. Yet Moses went and built a tent. Right?
Amen.
When Jesus came, he became God's tent.
Amen.
God dwelling there.
Amen.
You can see the beauty of the Lord.
Amen.
If you need to inquire about anything, you come to Jesus.
Amen.
Moses in Israel, if you need anything, you come to where? Moses. Right? But yet in Jesus' day, even though he was the tent of God, there was a Jerusalem temple.
Amen.
And in the time of the descent of the Lord, Branham Tabernacle is being rebuilt. Is that right? And he said for the opening of the seals. Now, the Lord descended from heaven. Where did he descend? He had to descend. The prophet says, you see at the coming of the mighty angel, there's a seventh angel standing on the earth at the time. So where is he coming to? The man was the tent. Behold, where did you behold the beauty of the Lord? In which building? It was in a man. And to inquire in his temple. So if you needed healing, did you go to Branham Tabernacle, the building? Or you went to the man Branham Tabernacle? If you need to hear something from the Lord, you went to Branham Tabernacle, the building, or the man? Where were you inquiring of the Lord? Watch the text. To inquire of the Lord. To behold the beauty of the Lord. Where did you see the beauty of the Lord? When God take a man who couldn't even pray, write a letter in prayer, and now he prayed for kings and potentates and everybody. When you take a man whose
Amen.
Family died with their boots on,
Amen.
Right? And have a bad name, and take him and change him into a beautiful butterfly.
Amen.
Where did you see the beauty of the Lord, the power
Amen.
Of the Lord, the transforming power of the
Amen.
Lord? Not in the man.
Amen.
You see? And notice how he approached the seal book. When he approached the seal book, he started looking and said, three buildings. He said, building Revelation 21. He said, that's the tabernacle. That's where we're going to. He said, David desired to build a house for the Lord.
Right.
But David couldn't build it. He said, his son built it, but David had blood.
Yeah.
Shed too much blood. Right? Now you have another son here. He's building Branham Tabernacle.
That's good. I like that.
But God was building the man
like
for his descent.
Amen.
Right? Preparing him for his descent. And that's why he started talking symbolic language. He started talking about the natural Branham Tabernacle because he's a typologist. And he said, you see this piece of ground? It will always be sacred to me. No matter where I roam, this place will always be sacred to me. Because way back, he said, this was nothing but a swamp bed. A pond. And he said, and out of that, so he said, that is why the streets are out of Keter. Street represents civilization. Civilization couldn't go through. Education couldn't go through. Because God had a sacred work for that place. Talking about himself.
Amen.
No education. No civilization.
Right.
Right? And he said, but out of that muddy pond bed come
lily.
Hallelujah.
A lily. And look at what he said. A lily and spread forth its wings. Lily don't have wings. Eagle have wings. Spread forth its wings. You see? And he said, oh Lord. Talking about the same time, he said, now here I will stand, one of the most compared to any church in the world he's talking about. And he said, look, the beauty of the church, the character of its people. He said, right here, I had a privilege. The first duty as a minister in this tabernacle was to marry a young man and a young woman. The Lord made me a type. That's it. The message coming to bring the marriage of the Lamb. That's what the message is. The marriage of the Lamb. He's the marriage officer. Go back and read God here and reveal his simplicity. The whole vision is in there. Because the prophet was talking too much and God kept the interpretation of the vision kept it from him. Because the first and second fully explained. Caused impersonation. Can you imagine if he had told them that the third pole is God descending in a tent of a man. God stretched his tent in a man to speak like Jesus. He stretched his tent in Christ. Can you imagine how many God would be in tent today? You see? So God kept that from him. So the tent vision is connected. You see, three things. It's speaking of the word. You see, the preacher, teacher, and the Lord. The tent vision to show where the Lord is speaking from. Where deliverance has come from. And the people in the message now, even the prophet is looking for a literal vision. But the first pole, there was no literal pole in his hand. There was no literal fishing. The second pole, there was no literal pole, no literal fishing. Right? You think the third pole will be literal? But notice what he said. The third pole was a catch a raindrop pump. So if the third pole was replaced by the tenth vision, what is the tenth vision to do? Catch the rainbow trout. What catches the rainbow trout? What gathers the believer? The shout gathers.
Amen.
Alright. So the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Now I'm going to tie a couple of things together so you will. Don't ever mix up the word seven in Revelation. Seven is a symbol. Symbol. It's not a number. Not how they try. Seven mystery, seven this, seven that. Seven thunder, the word seven is not a numeric number. It's a symbolic number. The word seven in the Hebrew is from the word siva. Siva. Siva, it means an oath. You ever heard the word bet? Shiva? Right? It's seven. It's an oath. Seven was an oath that one take. And an oath is a covenant. And a covenant has to have a fulfillment. It means the seven thunders coming to bring the fulfillment of the redemptive covenant.
Amen.
Right? It's not a number one number. This is number one mystery, the number two mystery. You remember the early question? That's what they were teaching you. A man covered the seven mysteries.
Yes.
Right? That's not so. The word seven is a covenant number. If I had time, if I had like, I probably would have maybe sometime do that. But it's a word covenant, and that is why the Revelation 10:1, the seven is connected with it because the rainbow was over his head, showing the covenant God coming to fulfill his covenant with this message called the shout. Right? So Revelation 10:1, it is called seven thunders. And showing a symbol of a covenant angel coming. But in 1 Thessalonians, it's interpreting that the angel that's coming down is the Lord himself. And it's called a shout. And it's coming for the living saints, the dead saints. Alright? One more thing, I'll leave you with a controversy. The controversy is, this message of shout, voice, and trump. The shout comes through the prophet, right? The trump comes through Moses and Elijah, right? Who's the voice coming to? Not you. Who's the voice coming to? How? His voice is still there.
Preaching to them who have died.
Brother, they will kick you into the life all for that. How? Yeah, 20 something years ago, I introduced that. That was like madness to them. Now, remember what the prophet said in the marriage and divorce. He says, that the shadow of an elephant doesn't cast like a thin man on a wall. If it's a shadow of an elephant, it will cast it because a real elephant is there that cast that shadow.
Amen.
Now, you have Son of Man in Jesus 2,000 years ago. Jesus, Son of Man. And you have Brother Bill, William Marion Barnum. You have Son of Man today. Now, did he have three poles?
Yeah.
Did he have three poles? He preached circumcision, you're your father the devil. He preached circumcision, your father the devil. Is that right? He preached harvest time. He preached harvest time. He preached shout. In John 6:6, he said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life. The people begin to scatter. He said, will you also lead me? Watch Peter. Not miracles. Thou have, not the first verse, second verse, thou have
words.
The words, the message, the shout. Now, in John chapter 12, he's gathered with the living saints and Lazarus, the resurrected saints, sitting on a table. Right? The marriage supper. What happened to the marriage supper? The trunk calls you to the supper. So here you have the trunk shown in Jesus' ministry. And where is he coming to? Jerusalem.
Amen.
Right? Living saints, dead saints, coming to Jerusalem. And that's where they crowned him. That's where they anointed him here. At Lazarus' table. And then in Acts chapter 1, you have the rapture. In Acts chapter 1, before he's ascended up, two men appears. With the mystery that he's going to, the same Jesus is going to return in like manner to where? Jerusalem. And this is where the fountain will be opened in the house of David under the trump. The mystery of Moses and Elijah, the two men represented as two witnesses in Acts chapter 1. In Jesus' ministry, you have short voice and trump. What do you think of William Branham? Now watch carefully. At the cross, right? John chapter 6. He goes to the living, and the living begin to leave, only the elect remain. Why? You have the words of eternal life. The 70 left him, right? That's the shout. The voice is on the cross. And when he was dying, he cried with a loud voice. And the Bible said, we have to open.
Right.
Then what did he do? What did he do? He went beyond the grave in a theophanic body and never stopped preaching. 1 Peter 3:18, 19. Let's read it. Because you have got to support every scripture. If Jesus is the Son of Man, went beyond the grave to them that died in faith,
amen,
to tell them the same message the living have, because they can't, nobody can know more than the other,
amen.
He gathered all of them together before the resurrection,
amen. Amen.
And take them with him.
Amen.
One man did that. Watch carefully. For Christ also once had suffered for sins, that's at the cross, that the just for the unjust, right? I was the unjust. God took him for me, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Where did the Spirit quicken him and go? Where did this theophany go? By which he also went and preached to the... Was Christ preaching beyond the grave? Let me ask you a different. Was the Son of Man 2,000 years going beyond the grave after he preached to the living? What do you think William Branham will do? Who has the mystery? Who holds the mystery? So the voice ministry to the dead. When William Branham, that's why William Branham could not live any longer. If he had lived any longer, his body would have changed. Because he said, in the wings of a snow white dove, I've come to a fate I have never known before. That fate would have changed him like Enoch. But if he had the Enoch type change, there would be no connection for the voice ministry of the dead. So he had to die. And his dying places him to gather all of the dead and bring them up, because Luther died a Trinitarian. He can't come up a Trinitarian. Who are the mystery of the Godhead? But then, brother, Wesley died, sanctification of the mortal man was sanctification. That wasn't true sanctification. True sanctification is total separation from all unbelief. Who are the mystery for all? Who is the clean man in Eden that has separated the church? And the waters are separation. He had that. Pentecost had the gifts all messed up. They had the gift of wisdom last. Right? Right? No, no. The real gift that was the giver. Right? Was the life. So everything they had, he had to correct that.
Right.
They can't come up with the doctrines they went down with.
Right, that's right.
Who's going to correct the errors?
That's good, brother.
The seal correct the errors? Who was the man with the seal to correct the errors? Together? That's called the ministry beyond the grave.
Wow.
Right? You don't know all about it. Brother Henry and I, we talk about that all the time. So thank God you have a God called ministry. You have a good support through Brother Aaron. And between the two of them, I have no doubt God will have a bride. But if you're thinking that everybody is bride here, they don't even know quarter what we said. In fact, they'll scare to death if I tell them what you, if you, if they hear what you hear today, they'll scare them to death. And even some of you might still be trembling. But that's okay. Alright? But that's just a taste. Short voice and chomp. Taste. When I come back, maybe I will take the dimensions for you and show you that each one of these dimensions has an altar. Then the mystery of that altar opens up the mystery of all the classes of people in the book of life. Right? Let me close you with one scripture. 1 Timothy. Oh, what's it? 2 Timothy 1:10. 2 Timothy 1:10. What are we talking about today? Kind of needed this, Brother Henry. I was kind of feeling a little bit still kind of sicky, but I feel good. I feel good.
Amen. Glory to God.
Now watch the scripture carefully. What is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus, that's 2,000 years ago, who abolished death. When did he abolish death? 2,000 years ago on the cross. You see that comma? That's 2,000 years later. See, scriptures are not written with time in mind, because there's no time in God's mind.
Hallelujah.
Watch carefully. And had brought life, who's the one showed you the different sections in the book of life? Who brought life? Reveal life to us today. This ministry brought to us life and immortality. We didn't know anything about it. We didn't know there was a body celestial, a body terrestrial, and a glorified body. We didn't know that.
Right.
The mystery of the body, we didn't know. When the only nomination teacher was theophany and the different kinds of theophany, there was nothing about that.
Amen.
It's this message. Who brought life and immortality to life through the gospel. It is this shout that did that for us.
Amen.
This message. How can you take a rapture, which is a victory over life and mortality, and you don't know anything about life and immortality? It would be a shame. So he's revealing it to us as we ourselves are changed into the very image of eternal life and a glorified body. Amen. God bless you. You were easy to talk to. Pray that. Stay with your pastor. Pray for your pastor. And it's exciting times ahead for the bride. Things that could never have come to light in the early days of the message. Today, God is revealing it, bringing it, and it's the most exciting time for the ministry and for believers. God bless you, keep you, cause His face to shine upon you all, give you all much peace.